This is PFW in progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
You're nuts.
A lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Well, you've got to be nuts. You want to work for nothing.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, which means it's a big media day and pizza. So, of course, the turnout's large. It's the only reason. But we're here to talk about Patriots for the next 2 hours until 2 o'clock. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. The whole gang's here, including Eric, Andy, Mike, Eric, Paul. Gary's in the booth. And the guys just came back from the media workroom where this morning Bill Belichick had his press conference and there was some player access. So tell us what's going on, someone.
Well, at the very end of access today, Vince Wilfork started to talk about his situation.
Okay.
But it was right at – it was like literally with a minute left. Andy and I thought
– I think it went into
we were clearing
overtime.
Out to leave and then it was – his locker's right near the door and he started talking and – we kind of got an extra minute or two in there, but I think actually Paul was in the middle of that scrum. I didn't really get to hear too much.
What do we got?
Yeah, he deemed the meeting with the commissioner as very productive. He complimented the NFL and for the opportunity to state his case. Said he learned a lot about the procedures, learned a lot about the commissioner. Felt like the commissioner got to know him a little bit. He got to state his side. There's been multiple reports this morning that indicate that he won't be suspended. Vince did not say that. He said, you know, I'll find out when you guys find out. So he left it very open-ended. My guess is that he won't be suspended for the Colts game because if he was going to, it would have happened generally, and I heard Chris Mortensen talk about this morning, generally the rule of thumb there is by Tuesday. If by,
right, so
by end of business day on Tuesday, if it hasn't happened, it probably won't.
Right.
So I would guess that he's going to be a go for the Colts game, but he stopped short of saying that, you know, he quote-unquote won the argument and isn't going to get suspended. And those reports also indicate that he's facing another fine.
Right. Okay.
He was positive about it. Called it very productive.
Very productive meeting.
He said the commissioner told him sort of tone it down at the end of plays, basically. That playing hard and everything is fine, but at the end of plays, reel it back in a little bit.
Well, what's that whistle?
Which is clearly his problem.
It doesn't matter when it happens, the beginning or the end. You can't put an elbow into the guy's helmet.
No, I know. But a lot of these come post or near the end of play scrums and... And I think it's a tough position for him because he gets beat on. I mean, that's the position where you get beat on more than any other in football, but you can't allow your frustrations to retaliate at any point.
So it kind of sounds like he was pleasantly surprised by the outcome of that meeting. Is that what the impression you got?
I got just the impression that he thought it was a positive experience. He felt like he got a chance to talk to Commissioner Goodell and explain what kind of person he is, which is, I'm using Vince's words. And I think I think
sounds like he
that.
Gave him the speech that he kind of gave us
right.
in the past.
Right, and it sounds like it worked, just like it did
It will
for
the
us.
First time.
Well, I'm sure,
oh, exactly.
I'm sure Goodell treated him with respect and didn't come down on him like a
But I think
father.
That might have been in the back of his mind that he feared that it doesn't really matter what I say here. He's decided he's going to suspend me.
Right.
He's not listening. And I think that Vince was pleasantly surprised, to use Eric's term, that he was listened to. And, you know, I think he came away with it, came away from the whole process feeling a little bit better about it.
Well, you know, like you said, it's a tough position. And the last thing you want is your nose tackle backing away from these guys and thinking that they can, you know, run roughshod over him and get away with it. He's going to retaliate. And I'm sure this isn't the last time something will happen with him because, you know, it's like we said, he's emotional.
Well, he's retaliating, but he's taking it out on the wrong guy.
Right.
Well, that, yeah.
And in the wrong way.
I have a bigger problem with the way he's retaliating and the way Fred said it. I mean, it doesn't matter when you're elbowing a guy in the head. You know, you can retaliate and push a guy back, and if that's why you're getting penalties, and then you can go back and look at the tape and say, well, look at this. You know, this guy was kind of taking some liberties with Vince, and he was just sticking up for himself. I don't think that gets you in fine or suspension trouble. Yeah. It's the kind of things, you know, when you're banging guys in the head and putting your hand inside a guy's face mask, those aren't normal retaliation plays.
But he's also used up his free pass now. Yeah, this is the free pass. You met with the commissioner. You tried to explain everything to him. Next time, you just get whatever handed down to you. It's not going to do you much good to go there and whine.
You know, amply warned.
Right. So. And I have no problem with, I mean,
he did have a $30,000 or some odd dollars in fines last year. So it's not a first-time offender here.
Okay, so you guys are done bashing poor Vince.
Oh,
I'm only kidding.
I think we all like Vince.
Vince is a good guy.
I think he's Rodney Harrison. I think he's very close, very similar, where he honestly believes that he does nothing wrong, but so does Rodney. And we know Rodney pushes the envelope, hits guys out of bounds, hits guys after the whistle, and I think that's a good comparison. And I think everybody's going to hate him until he's on their team. If he switched teams, the Broncos who hated him would go, this guy's
Danny Ainge.
Him.
Danny Ainge.
He's good.
Yeah, but people on other teams didn't like Danny Ainge. You know, he was kind of like a punk, you know, whiner.
He wasn't really a dirty player, though.
I don't know. Some people thought he might have taken some cheat shots down the lane and stuff, but you know, he's on your team. You love him, you know?
Gary does not agree with your assessment of Danny Ainge.
Why?
Well, Gary's from here. He wouldn't know.
Danny Ainge was on my team, and I didn't like him. But I can see what Fred's...
Well, he's
what
on Fred, your list.
I can see what Fred's talking about.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. What about Bill Belichick? What did he have to say?
That you can't run on the Colts. Despite the 4.2 yards per carry that everyone's averaging against the Colts.
But not lately, according to Bill. I mean,
just another case of him picking and choosing what to look at, when to look at it, how to look at
it. We all know that the Colts are a pretty good football team. Despite their 3-4 record, they still have enough talented players to make you stand and take notice. But the way he picked out the 3 or 4 things that the Colts have done remarkably well, if he said it once, he said it 5 times today, how explosive they are, first 5 minutes of the Baltimore game, last 5 minutes of the Houston game. If you don't see how explosive they are there.
He was going to give a third example.
Well, they came back.
There is another example.
You know, they came back against Jacksonville in a blink of an eye, even though they ended up losing that game. So, listen, we know that the Colts are good. We know, you know, frankly, if the Colts played the Patriots schedule, they'd probably be 5-2, too. You know, I mean, they've had a little bit tougher road, and they're not handling it well. But to the running game that Andy points out, they haven't stopped the run very well. Now, they did Monday night. They did a great job Monday night against the Titans, and the Titans are a strong running team.
But the Patriots didn't give up any big plays in the middle. You know, it depends when you look at it. You can take a small sampling.
There's still a bad run defense regardless of one game.
Yeah. Right.
They're 26th in
the
league.
But if you take the Chargers and the Rams game, they gave up big plays. So
and
if
without
you take
Sanders,
little samplings
we all know without Sanders, that's a different defense, and they've been without Sanders the
league MVP.
Yeah, I mean, they're a defense that relies on speed. So whenever that is, you know, they have to be going all out to stop the run. I mean, they really have to be flying to the ball. Sanders, there's hardly no one better doing that. When he's out, you know, you need you look at that Tennessee game. I thought that first half, that defense was all over the place. I thought the Colts defense without Sanders was playing a great, great game. But I think by the end, they got tired. I really do. I think they were worn out by the end of that game.
And I just felt like the offense really let them down.
Yeah, they were on a short field, too, for a couple of
guys. Yeah, I thought that it wasn't so much the fatigue, because it didn't really get out of whack in terms of time of possession until the fourth quarter, but not capitalizing on all those opportunities, I think, really demoralized the defense. And I thought they had chances. Dallas Clark is just, he just can't catch the ball. I don't care how many plays he makes. I don't care how many touchdowns he had Monday night. He can't catch the football. He's like Ben Watson. You got to throw 4 for every 2 catches.
That last play there where they had the pick.
It's like a volleyball player.
The announcers doing or I should say on ESPN when they did the highlights, they were saying, well, you know, he got hit.
He got hit after
the ball went through his hands.
He stinks.
I agree with you on that.
Overrated. Remind me, Paul, next August when I'm looking for most overrated, remind me Dallas Clark.
I had a new one I was waiting for. Now I forgot.
Well, he does drop some crucial passes, but he also makes a lot of big plays, and he seems to know how to get open.
Yeah, I just don't.
But
think
Manning's
he's that
not
good.
Having his first two touchdowns best year this year either.
My impression of Manning was, you know, obviously he's still a great quarterback. It seemed to me like on some of his passes there was a little zip off the ball that he used to have. It just didn't get there as quickly. Then on other passes, you know, he looked like the old Manning of that we all, you know and hate.
Which knee is hurt or not hurt?
I don't know, honestly.
He's not under the injury report, so he's not hurt.
He's not hurt. Getting back to Manning.
Good point by Bill Belichick, though.
Yeah, great point.
A really, really good shot. I like that.
Yeah. That's the kind of shot that you should take because
I like that
you
shot.
Can't argue with it.
Right.
You can't argue with that
shot. I like
shot.
That shot.
Yeah. The best was that it came in the middle of an answer. Like he remembered, I screwed up that last Manning answer. I got to get back to Manning for a
minute. Yeah. What injury? He's not listed.
Well done.
Yeah.
That's except part of Bill I truly, truly love.
See, I think it was great except for the fact that it was written as if it wasn't a shot on at least one different place, one or two different places.
Well, in case our listeners don't know what we're talking about, somebody want to fill them in?
Bill was asked about Manning's health and the health of the Colts and their struggles. He answered, he's a great player, blah, 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 gave a nice three-line answer. Another question that had nothing to do with injuries, he started to answer and then said, getting back to Manning for a minute, if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't been on the injury report but one or two days all year, he's not injured, he's healthy.
Right.
Which is accurate.
And that's a shot at the Colts for manipulating the injury report.
And it gets in a shot at the league at the same time for the whole way of doing injuries.
And I like that stuff.
It's a real nice way of getting...
Not the pot calling the kettle black?
Who gets blamed for it? The Patriots are always criticized for that.
Right.
I don't hear the other teams getting criticized for it. Denver's the only one I'll give.
Well, the Jets are lately. You know.
And the Dolphins were. Your boy Florio was all over the Dolphins because they went like the first 8 weeks without an injury.
Yeah, notice the coaching tree that all comes from. It's all from Bill Parcells.
Yep.
You know? So, all right. So, anything else that he covered, Bill, in his press conference?
It's really kind of a low-key press conference. The questions were really slow at the beginning.
And Dan Shaughnessy entertained us all by asking, is this unique or something? And Bill goes, we don't really look at it that way.
The fifth time in 5 years he's written that column.
Right. Just answers dynamite. I know in the middle. Well, then why'd you ask it?
I just think it's so funny,
dynamite.
You know, to sit there and say, you know, they're 5-2, you know, despite all of this and whatever. Well, why don't you, you know, look at it and try to figure out why. It's just like they're so quick to just say, Bill, I mean, is it such a challenge? A unique
challenge?
It's the
easy headline. It's the easy story.
We also found out what makes Peyton Manning good because I was wondering. I hadn't noticed the last 7 years.
That might be.
I wanted to stab myself in the friggin' neck today.
Somebody asked what makes Peyton Manning
so good.
I hate Wednesdays.
Oh, boy.
That was one of the worst questions that we've had in a long time.
I hate every day that ends in a Y, particularly Wednesdays, though.
All right.
Because I'm a miserable human being.
Again,
right,
Rocco.
On the outside, Mike. On the inside, you're feeling good, though.
I feel great.
Yeah.
Other than Wilfork, who spoke in the locker room today?
Ellis Hobbs. Terrence Wheatley spoke.
Yeah.
I guess the rookie ban has been lifted.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I went over to Will Hite. And
he's happy about it.
He's great. Yeah,
I talked to Will Hite for a little bit, and when I first went up to him, he said, no, Friday, man. I said, you guys can't talk till Friday? And he's like, oh, what do you got?
So that was easy. Huh?
And then I talked to Wheatley afterwards. Nothing earth-shattering there, but just two young guys that are – you know, looking forward for the opportunity to go against Manning on Sunday. And
I wouldn't look too forward to that.
Who else talked down the other
Jimmy?
End?
Dan Copen.
James Sanders, Dan Copen.
A huge
Falk.
Crowd.
Kevin Falk.
I don't know if he ended up talking, did he?
Falk,
no?
Because I know everybody went
I
over
saw
to
him come out.
I think the second time around,
I think he did.
Okay, he came back out and
talked. I think if you
blink,
he's done talking.
Jimmy Sanders, Andy's boy.
Heath Evans, as usual.
What time is practice today?
12:45.
So
I'll be
who's covering it?
I am. I'll be leaving.
So you'll be coming and giving us a report?
Yeah, I have to go and get my car because we have to drive over there.
Yeah, that's a kick in the stones.
You have to drive over there. Where are they practice?
You got to go like 30 miles to go.
Just walk. Just
you can't.
Across.
They don't allow
you
to. You
have to follow protocol,
can't.
Fred. There are rules in place. You have to meet the media caravan.
And the drive on caravan. People die.
It's also pretty cold. I'd drive.
Well, you're a wuss.
So they're practicing indoors today.
That's all
Fred would say.
It's a little raw. It's a little raw today.
It is raw. Raw is a good way to describe it. Raw.
Last night I came out of my house and this huge branch had fallen down, missed my car by like a foot.
Oh, that would have sucked.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be all happy.
I thought you cut down all the trees.
No.
I think you missed one.
I'll never be able to cut down all the trees.
Might want to get the one above your
property. He's got.
No, I got a guy coming in. I got this branch is right above the chimney. I got to get those cut.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's about it. We're up to date here. You feel everyone's up to date?
You know, Fred. Not that it matters at all to what we were talking about. Did you see the Hall of Fame stuff? Hall of Fame.
I heard it on the radio. Why don't you go over that?
The nomination list included a number of guys that had Patriots ties,
Dan Plato,
at least in some way or another, as Kyle was so nice to send out today.
Mike's about to get something out of the fridge. That fridge is broken. Yeah, it's warm.
Whoa.
Oh.
Let's see.
Watch your mouth,
we can
Junior.
Still hear you.
Yes, Jim Plunkett is one of the guys on the list. Larry Centers. Quick cup of coffee with the Patriots.
Did
we count him as a Patriot
things?
Hall of Famer? Stanley Morgan, Harold
Steamer.
Jackson, Irving Fryer.
Stanley Morgan.
Definitely a good one.
Yep.
They're all nominees this year.
There's also some big-name first-time nominees.
Yeah. First, that's the only ones I was going to read because it's 133 players. How long are we going here? First-year eligible nominees. We had Larry Centers and Brian Mitchell. Tight ends, Shannon Sharp and Frank Wycheck. Offensive tackle, Lincoln Kennedy. Defensive lineman John Randall, Bruce Smith, Dana Stubblefield. Linebacker Jesse Armstead. Defensive backs Darren Woodson and Rod Woodson.
Fred hates
Why are
every
you rolling
candidate.
Your eyes
the only
at guy,
guy on that list that you just named that I would consider is Rod Woodson.
What
Bruce
about Bruce
Smith?
Smith
is not a Hall of Famer.
I didn't hear Bruce Smith.
He's a lock.
My
I didn't
goodness. Hear Bruce Smith.
Shannon Sharp
Shannon
is a lock.
Sharp
as well.
Shannon Sharp, really? Oh, come on.
Do you watch games?
President, we need a National Guard.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot why he's not a Hall of Famer. Thank you, Gary, for reminding me.
And every guy on that list, well, I don't know about every guy, but like Dana Stubblefield, you made a terrible face. Didn't he win Defensive Player of the Year?
Yes.
So
but he's not a Hall of Famer.
I know, but he's not worthy of just utter just, oh,
you
my
know
God,
my standards.
On that list.
Well, it's funny because they were talking about it a little bit.
He doesn't
this
even
morning.
Want Troy Brown in the Patriot Hall of Fame. That's he wanted Dan Stubblefield in the Pro Hall of Fame.
They were talking about it on ESPN Radio this morning, and they were going over guys, and you know, like the Andre Reeds and the Chris Carters and all these guys, and they were saying yes, no, no. And I think the more that I listen to Fred's kind of strict guidelines, the more I agree with Fred. Because I think that's the way to tell a Hall of Famer. I really don't think there should be a tremendous amount of
easy.
Convincing
right.
to make someone a Hall of Fame.
It shouldn't be easy, but it should be obvious as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If it's truly a Hall of Fame, see, the problem is what's happened before in all sports. But if it's truly a Hall of Fame, I think that you shouldn't have more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Bruce Smith, Hall
Absolutely.
Of
Famer. Absolutely.
I'm glad
didn't
that
you say
I'm
you
glad you
have
I didn't hear him, big head.
Calm fat mouth. I like that.
Now,
so I thought that was Shannon Sharp in that same
Shannon Sharp
group?
Is the all-time leader for tight end receptions. Tremendously productive career.
He just seemed like a wide receiver dressed as a tight end.
Well, even if you want to put him in as a wide receiver, he probably belongs.
Say, yeah.
Yeah.
He caught 100 passes like all the time.
How many mouth. Super Bowl wins?
Three.
Three comes out. Just a big mouth.
He looks like a horse. You can't hold that against him.
And you think coach should be in though, right?
Can't speak.
In the pro football?
Pro football.
No, not necessarily, no.
Yeah,
I don't either.
No.
I'm surprised. I would have thought you would have thought that.
You're not big on Frank Wycheck?
Based on the numbers, I put Stanley Morgan in before I put
Stanley
Ben
Morgan,
absolutely.
I think, should go.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Paul, you know who's on that list I should go in? Clark Shaughnessy. I know about him is Bill loves him.
He's on this list?
Yeah. He jumps off the page.
Oh,
somewhere.
Contributors, I see.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Because Bill credits him with everything.
Bud Adams, Gil Brandt. C.O. Brocato, I don't know who that is. Leo Carlin, Ed DiBartolo Jr., Ben Dreith. What are you kidding me? Bob Harlan, Jerry Jones,
Ray, Hannah,
Art Modell,
Francis,
Art Rooney
Stanley,
Jr.,
Taha, Sam Cunningham,
Ed Sable,
Kruger,
Steve
Andy
Sable,
Johnson,
Paul
Julius
Tagliabue,
Adams, Hunt,
Ralph
Hamilton,
Wilson,
Lunsford,
Ron
Steve
Wolf,
Nelson,
and George
George
Young.
Webster,
I think it's just a matter of tenure there. I mean,
where's
if you're,
Clark
if you're involved with the league for more than 20 years, you automatically get on that list.
No.
What about the Sables? That's an interesting one for contributors.
Sure.
NFL films.
They should definitely be in.
I think they should be some sort of recognition anyway.
Right.
All the video in the hall is their stuff.
A lot of it is, yeah.
They should
pretty
be
much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should be in.
I don't see Clark Shaughnessy on this list.
Then you got a bad list. Because the one Joe Horgan sent me from the Pro Football Hall of Fame had
the one.
Clark Shaughnessy on it.
This is the list.
So, then you're not looking close enough.
Either that or Andy misread something.
Was he a player?
No, he's a coach.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the contributors.
Oh, no, he's a coach.
Okay. He's among the coaches listed. Don Coryell, Tom Flores, Jimmy Johnson, Chuck Knox, Buddy Parker, don't know who that is.
Dan Reeves and Clark Shaughnessy.
Maybe just to screw with our friend Tara on Friday, I'll say, Bill, the Hall of Fame list came out. Hall of Flame. Eric's on that one.
Oh, see.
And I'll say, Clark Shaughnessy. What, you
just
know, what,
out of nowhere.
What do you think about his nomination? Just let him ramble.
Will you whisper it?
I don't
What's going on here?
Everybody's making fun of me claiming that I whisper my questions in press conferences.
To be honest,
you kind of do.
I've never, ever thought that bit. But the fact that Tara
you always sit next to me, though, so it's, you're probably not a great
The fact that Tara was making fun of you, I just took it as an opportunity to jump on.
Well, you were the first one to ask. You were the first one to ask a question after the game, right? That was your question, I believe?
Yes, I think you were.
Yeah.
And I followed shortly.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah, because no one else wanted to ask questions. If PFW hadn't been there, I think it would have ended.
But Andy and I hit real quick, and then we got out real quick.
That's how a lot of these press conferences with him are, though.
No one has
We have to ask most of the
Lately,
questions.
Lately, it's been a lot worse.
With a room full of reporters.
Even today, nobody wanted to
jump
off with that
There was
question.
Like
at one
55
point,
people in the room today, and no one had a question.
Well, they're there for pizza.
At one point,
they're not there for anything else.
Mike Reese was next to me. At one point, he wrote, "What's going on?" And he had just a question mark, and I just shrugged my shoulders. And then he started asking some questions about the Colts defense and some things like that.
I was going to say, you're the beat reporter or dominant reporter for the Boston Globe. How come you don't have a question?
Well, I have an answer for that, but I'll give it to you off air.
He talks to Bill afterwards?
Yeah.
On air.
Maybe I'll do it on air.
He saw me down there because I was down there early. I had
talked to a
couple people, and Mike Reese comes, big news coming down? I said, no, I just had to make a couple deliveries.
Marge.
Drop off the kids at the pool.
Oh. Marge.
Marge wasn't there.
You were looking
for those would be deposits.
See now, that's
just bias.
Really distasteful.
It really is.
Well, right. Suddenly I crossed the line.
So it was
after,
it has been.
You should apologize to Fred.
No one asked questions.
It has been quiet at the press conferences lately, and PFW has sort of been forced to.
Now, on the other side, this morning I heard all kinds of hilarity coming from the other side of the room. What was going on? I'm in my office, and I just hear Eric just busting out laughing.
Oh, I was watching the
Paul laughing.
I was watching the point counterpoint between these two last night on their
from the neck and shirt.
Yes, it was hilarious.
Chris had it up on his computer.
Chris thought it was like the funniest thing he's
Chris
ever seen.
Now what happened? I don't know, but it came out looking great.
It looks good. Well, I think it actually looked pretty funny.
It looks awesome.
I hadn't seen it before.
This is available on Patriots.com.
It is now, right? And there's a double box, a two shot of Andy and Paul looking straight into the camera next to each other. But the background makes it look like they're in completely different places, when in reality they're sitting right next to each other, elbow to elbow.
Right.
Fred's on my other elbow.
And normally when you see those shots, the people are in different locations, which is why they have the arrangement like that. And then they start arguing, and Andy starts getting the upper hand, and Paul just sort of gives up, throws up his hands, and just sort of looks to his right.
And then they
so on the box, on TV, it looks like he's looking at the box, but then they cut to a side shot of the desk, the whole desk, and there's the two of them sitting next to each other. It was, I don't know.
As usual, came out good.
As usual, the funny part was, I don't know what all the two-shot, the thing on the desk, whatever. They do that every single week.
He's got a background in TV.
It goes from the point counterpoint to the whole desk. But to me, the funny part was, I kept saying stuff. Andy kept talking over me, and finally I just
said, threw up his hands.
Okay, maybe I just won't talk anymore.
We looked
like two little babies.
Paul just took his ball and went home.
Right.
And Andy just kept going on and on.
Andy just kept going on and on. As a matter of fact, I think he might still be talking about it.
Would have been great if you threw your hands up and it ended up on Andy's ball.
Well, no, I looked.
Wouldn't be the first time.
But I purposely looked to him so it would look, you know, like, are you going to stop? That's what it looks like on TV.
The problem is when we do these point counterpoints for Neckin, a lot of times it's a very one sided argument. And so usually the unspoken rule is the guy that throws himself under the bus and takes the one that you really can't argue, the other guy's supposed to let up on him a little bit.
Yeah, that wasn't
but
the
Andy
case.
Did not.
No.
No,
so you thought that was a one sided argument yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Andy was pulling
I want to see him if they sign Ty Law next week.
No, I'm just saying the way.
That's not a coin flip argument. You couldn't make an argument either way on that.
You had you had the tougher argument.
I didn't care.
They've given up 700 big plays.
I couldn't disagree with you more about whether or not that was winnable or unwinnable, but I really couldn't care about the argument because we really can't get into a
I know you don't
care. We can't do a real point counterpoint because we'll get in trouble.
Right.
Let's say it like it is, like big boys. We say stuff here that we can't say there. That's what it
Why
is.
Why is that?
When more people hear this than that.
Andy was pulling a Bill O'Reilly, though.
He'd start asking
a question. Poe would try to answer, and he'd interrupt him and
usually,
keep answering.
Usually, one guy does his opening monologue, and you give the other guy at least equal time to do it. And he didn't even wait.
I don't know when I'm going to learn. I always say to myself, I'm going to let Andy go first because then I'll get to say something. But I don't.
No, you should have went first because you're the one making the argument that they should bring him in. So you should have went first.
I wasn't making an argument. He was making an argument they shouldn't bring him in.
No, but the thing was, should the Patriots bring in Ty Law?
And he was saying no.
No, but you make the argument, and then he counters it.
I love Fred's rules.
I have no idea
it's
how
point.
To,
what in the hell?
It's counterpoint.
It's actually
right.
Trash
and his point was they
talk. It's not point counterpoint on TV. It's trash talk.
And Andy's point was they're fine with the way they are. They don't need anybody to come in.
I know that's his ultimate point, but the basis of the argument was the Patriots should bring in Ty Law.
The bottom line is we spent too much talking about it. Just go
how
to Patriots.com.
How lose that argument, by the way?
Watch it. It's funny.
I never
Paul
said
looks.
I said about four things. I maybe got 11 words out.
Like I said, he was pulling a Bill dunk. O'Reilly. He kept interrupting
We should add a counter to it. Paul's words. One, two.
Should John Lynch.
Put it in. Give it. He's like, well, if you're going back, if you're going by numbers of war, I don't agree with that.
Just in case I forget, next week it won't be aired until Wednesday night because of the election. So if you're looking for PFW in Progress online, Chris won't be able to post it till Thursday morning.
PFW TV.
Speaking of Chris,
whatever.
How did the tour go yesterday with Chris and the
UK people? He said they had a great time.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Because when we went upstairs, we saw the UK fan club hanging out with PR. So what did he do?
He ditched him.
No, he
did
was
he ditch him.
He showed him PR.
Oh, jeez, I didn't know that was part of the tour.
Yeah, that's a great tour.
He actually showed him where he worked.
Unfortunately, when Eric, Andy, and I give people tours, we take them to places that I guess they don't want to see, like the press box and
the field,
stuff media like that.
Here's our HR department.
We go to the
HR. I don't know why there's so many people.
So no, they Chris said they really enjoyed themselves.
I don't think Chris had a whole lot to do with
it. And on Patriots Today, on Patriots.com right now, I know they did a segment with the UK fan club, so that's up there. Part of Patriots Today last night. So
Mike, you did some glad handing before the game with them, right?
Yes, I did. I'm a man of the people.
Tell them, Mikey.
Not pompous and arrogant.
Wow. All right. Well, we got a lot of emails coming in, as usual. People want to talk about this game coming up and other things, so we'll get to that right after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place and Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The New England Revolution! Super League on home turf.
The
the Superliga championship in the history books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
October 8th, 2008. Driving Miss Perillo. Thankfully, Eric drove to Alcatraz on Tuesday, which means I didn't have to hear Paul's insipid whining from the back seat. This is America. I'm entitled to drive like an at dollar sign ampersand exclamation number at percentage if I damn well please. In fact, I think anyone who drives a suggested speed limit in a major freeway and does not follow the flow of traffic is an even bigger at dollar sign ampersand exclamation number at percentage. Alcatraz was fantastic. A wonderful piece of history tucked away on a small island off the coast of San Francisco. The entire island smelled like urine, but it was historic urine.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Actually, it's not the urine of Al Capone. It's just seagulls. That's it.
Well, thanks for ruining my fun.
All right, back here, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on the phone right now is second-time caller, Alex in Dayton. Alex, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Well, I was calling about the secondary today.
Uh-oh. I've
got a couple of concerns about it.
Okay.
I mean, it just seems like people running wide open out here, man.
I think Dom Capers is asking the same question.
That's their cover zero defense.
I just don't think they're that good.
I like that, Mike.
I mean, to play off the guys, I mean, I wonder if that's the coverage that he's running or is this that that's how they can only play.
I think that's...
Well,
I
mean, you know, how much of it is inability and how much of it is communication right now?
Both. I think it's a combination because obviously safety is a... There's some stuff going on at safety, but... Delph O'Neal was cut by the Bengals. They stink. They're a winless football team, and they cut Delph O'Neal.
And now you've got two rookies who are seeing a lot of time.
Yeah, but the Bengals, you never know with them. It could be just money.
But it was.
You know?
Well, it was also with Denver.
It was part
Denver
of money, and
there's
also another guy coming in and taking his job.
He's just not that good.
Money.
Right.
But he's just not that good.
Yeah, the other thing is just, you know, Rodney get hurt, so I understand he's playing a lot of
concert
games. And, but then again, this might help us a little bit, man, get these guys ready, because Merriweather, I see he got his hand problems together now because he was dropping balls. Left. If we could have won the Super Bowl, we'd have caught that one, but out to win in the Super Bowl. But hey,
could have won it if the All Pro who went to the Eagles caught one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might break a little
like line, All Pro line blocked.
Yeah, I think we all, in theory, say okay, Wheatley's a young second round pick. He should be decent. He should end up, but. They need to prove it. Merriweather needs to prove it. Sanders needs to prove it. We all have hopes that they're going to be a good secondary, but now they need to do
well,
it.
Well, Wheelie and Wilhoy haven't proven it yet. The only thing
none of them
has proven that is he can't get on the field over guys who
have
drafted in the fourth round.
This will be a good game to prove
it,
though.
Got benched, though. Didn't he get benched in that when he first got out, he got burned up a little bit. They benched him.
What are we talking about?
30, they put the Richardson guy in there.
Yeah. Wheatley's been on. In an ideal world, I don't think Bill Belichick would be playing Terrence Wheatley right now.
I think he'll get onto the field Sunday because Hobbs got hurt.
Right.
Yeah, Wheatley's the guy. When you look at guys using a lot of cushion, Wheatley is one of those guys. Even on short routes, he's like 5 yards behind the guy.
Which is surprising.
Why is that, Fred?
Yeah, I don't
know. He's your guy. You
I don't
know.
I think they're
him.
Afraid to give up big plays and they're just giving too much of a cushion.
Or Wheatley is just afraid of his own ability. Giving himself cushions.
Something's happened though because
I think Hobbs has played okay this year. Actually, I'm not all over Ellis Hobbs.
No, Hobbs has played pretty well.
I think he's doing all right.
But
I think you'd be ripping him if there was an All Pro player across from him.
Ellis Hobbs get hurt like every other play. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, he's got a bad arm or shoulder. Or something.
He does get hurt, but he comes back in. He plays. He doesn't miss any time.
Right. He's a little bit of the boy who cried wolf. He gets hurt, but he always plays. So it almost makes him look worse because he's always out there to get hurt again.
Yeah. I got one more question, man. This is a serious one here. I know Brady is hurt, and they having problems with his knee. Now, what are we going to do if he can't start the beginning of the season? And Matt Castle is a free agent.
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell era begins.
Kevin O'Connell will have gone through the whole spring. He'd have gone through all the mini camps. He'd have gone through another training camp. And you would imagine that he'd be the guy.
And the veteran they signed this offseason will start.
But the way it was looking to me, like, I talked to a friend of mine. I said, it might be a Derek Anderson type of deal with Cleveland.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you're going to see them carrying two guys with big contracts, no. I think Matt Castle's gone.
That worries me bad, though, man. I mean, he needs to get his knee together, man. I don't know what's going on with, but it needs to get...
But I don't think it would be anything more than a couple of games.
No, and you
and
have, he
wouldn't
you
be on PUP
because
it wouldn't be out 6 weeks.
I mean, we're in October. You're talking about almost a full year away. So
I know, the guy...
There's plenty of time.
He still has to recover from this surgery or this series of surgeries. You know,
I think about Carson Palmer, though, man. It just worries me, man, because I'm serious here.
Well, let's enjoy this season
right
now.
I was going to say, let's worry about this year.
We're 5-2, and good things could happen. We're on our way.
You never know. They could go on and win the Super Bowl with Matt Castle.
Like I said yesterday, man, I think we do all right this year.
Yep.
Castle keep putting the ball where he needs to be.
Yep.
It's all dark out there, I thought, but...
Yep.
They got to keep catching them, man. They can't keep balling the ball. Them interceptions, man. Chip balls is the worst thing. I can't stand them.
Yep.
I can't stand them chip ball because that costs you the game sometimes.
Yep. As long as this defense plays well, we're going to be okay.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
All right. Alex from Dayton.
Alex or Allen?
Alex.
Alex. Did you call him Allen yesterday?
No.
Did we have an Allen yesterday?
No.
No. It's that colonoscopy.
Damn colonoscopy again.
You fantasizing about somebody named Allen?
And his head hurt.
Might have been his doctor who performed the colonoscopy. Might have enjoyed that.
I don't know.
He just told him it was a colonoscopy. Yeah, that's knock
called
him out.
Friday night
in the heart
at Eric's house.
All right, that's Alex from Dayton. 508-543-7482. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Congratulations to the Celtics for getting their rings last night and raising the 17th banner
and winning.
Yeah.
Beating LeBron
James.
That's a little weird, Fred, how in basketball.
You all right over there?
Got a little.
You got a lot of gas.
Hiccups a lot lately.
It's early signs of death.
Thanks, Andy.
do you think that's a little weird, though? You have Paul Pierce getting the trophy, getting this ring, bawling his eyes out, and then they have to go out and play a regular season game where he has to guard LeBron James. Yes. I can't see Bill Belichick putting up with something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they have ceremonies here, they put up a banner, but he always tries to keep the team pretty distant from that. You know, they'll make it. Remember, they did the 1 year they did like the lap where they jogged out, jogged back into the locker room. I don't think he would like having, because that's hard. I mean, it's last year, it's this year, it's the greatest moment of your life, but you got a game to play in 2 minutes, and
yeah.
Well, it'd be a bigger deal in football because you only have 16
right.
games. You have 82 here. This is the first one,
right?
I
mean, and
I think it's no big deal.
Football, if you're not in the right mindset, you get your ass whooped. Basketball, if you're not in the right mindset, you go down 12-4 and end up winning the game 90-85.
Yeah, because everybody makes a run in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Every NBA game is the same.
Uh-oh. Add NBA to mixed martial arts, things that Mike doesn't like.
I just don't like it because I'm a Knicks fan and the Knicks suck and I have nothing to watch every year.
Knickerbockers. Mm-hmm. I actually saw a headline that used Knickerbockers
really?
Yesterday. Knickerbockers cut Wall Street
Journal?
Ewing Jr. No, I think they needed to fill the space. The Knicks was too short. I haven't heard Knickerbockers in, I mean... Are they, is
no,
that even really their name
phrase.
Anymore?
Yeah, it is.
No, well, it's still technically.
It's still
right.
technically
they never
name,
use it, though.
But no one ever uses it. Yeah.
Because a couple of years ago, the Sonics dropped Super.
Right.
Or
they?
Like the Devil dropped, the Rays dropped Devil.
Right.
I mean, that
those
happened.
Those were official.
I didn't know if the.
Was Supersonics officially dropped?
Pretty sure they dropped the Super and they were just.
Oh,
they,
really?
Then they dropped
and
the
became
franchise.
Thunder.
Now, yeah, now they're in
the Seattle
Oklahoma.
Thunder, really? Oh, the Oklahoma, right. They've moved.
They're gone. No longer in
Stream of God. Seattle Thunder? Oh, yeah, right. They moved to Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, Oklahoma. Who are you talking to?
Are you okay?
A little
he's
tired.
The hiccups.
Who's yelling in the background?
I don't know, but it's annoying.
ESPN2 is here because tomorrow night is the playoffs for the Rebs against the Chicago Fire right here at Gillette Stadium.
That's what all the noise is out there, probably.
So they're out there getting ready. All the crew, the television crews are out there getting ready for the game.
So that'll be in HD on ESPN2?
On ESPN2, or if you want to see it live,
ESPN
tickets are available. But hurry.
As luck would have it.
But hurry.
22,000 just
limited
came in.
Limited tickets are available.
Limited tickets are available. So.
Gary, you going?
Yeah.
Who's singing the anthem?
Yeah.
Who else?
Ayla Brown? Yeah. Eric?
Can Eric
can you make
Reds
up
game?
Your mind on the argument, Freddie?
What?
You say get a good anthem singer. I get Ayla Brown. Then you say she's a good anthem singer. And then Andy says, who's singing the anthem? He goes, who else? They stink.
I didn't say
that. You make 17 arguments about the same thing.
Did I just say that she stinks? Did anyone hear me say that she stinks?
You've said it in the past.
He has. I've never said she stinks. Ayla Brown is from Wrentham.
Who cares?
It's where I'm from.
Can we get Eric a Revs game? A regular season Revs?
He can go to a game, sure.
Let's see. Ping Pong writes in, after yesterday's show, I'm afraid to call in. Blowing up first-time caller-ins, asking people to hang up and call back later. I saw one of Manning's commercials today on ESPN, and he really does look like a
ping
penis.
Pong!
Eric must get excited whenever he sees a picture of him. Talk about the first thing that pops up. I must admit that I'm disappointed with all the thrashing that I've received on PFWProgress.com. I think he means trashing. I won't send you any pictures because I'm afraid what strippers might do with them.
No.
Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred, and Mike, please calm all of these outraged fans. I got the impression that they
ping
wanted
pong!
To kill me. So
I don't think it's that serious, ping
no,
pong.
No, they just are
a little bit internet jockeying.
Calling into question your credit.
On the other hand, I was thinking about all of the emailers and caller-ins, and I think that it would be cool have a PFW in Progress Listener Hall of Fame. Take the top 25 listeners and make a Hall of Fame of them on PFWinProgress.com.
We only have 25 listeners.
The rankings can change, and this will encourage more people to email and call in. To make people want to buy you guys lunch, put whoever buys you lunch that day on the Listener Hall of Fame. Just a thought.
Not a bad idea with rankings each week. People seem to love rankings. They're all over the internet.
Lists, rankings.
Well, we'd have to have some way of doing it where their call or email is judged.
Sure.
I guess.
Yeah.
Because it can't be just on volume because we just can't get to everybody.
Yeah, because there are some people, as we know, who email the same thing 500 times in a row.
You know?
Just to try to get read.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out some way of creating this hall, some criteria.
Ping
and believe
pong!
Me, the criteria would not be as easy as the Pro Football Hall
no
of Fame.
No Stubblefields on this list, huh?
No Defensive Players of the Year on this list.
No Clark Shaughnessy's on this list.
Dan Stubblefield does not belong
in
the
Hall of Fame. He's a legend in this game. He
who did he
built,
coach?
I don't know.
Napoleon
I believe
Dynamite.
The Bears. I want to say.
Then say it.
When I shut up. I talked to Bill for that whole coaching tree thing, and I want to say Clark Shaughnessy predated George Halas, and Bill almost made it sound like George Halas took stuff from Clark Shaughnessy, or they might have been contemporary. Clark Shaughnessy
then
is
he
like,
was like
Bill has
any
Clark
more emails
Shaughnessy
or they had helmets
online with George Halas, Paul Brown, that type of that level.
All right,
and you never hear Clark Shaughnessy with those other guys.
So like 30s, 40s?
Yeah, some,
long time ago, sometime.
I'm sure strippers will look it up and we'll have an email within minutes.
I'm sure he will. Fred, did you already see that your boy Obama is affecting life in the AFC East?
Oh, is that right? How so?
Wayne Huizenga looking to rush through the rest of the sale of the Dolphins
yeah.
to avoid
I laugh
the spreading of the wealth yeah. that your boy is bringing.
He's been wanting to sell
money.
That team for 2 years, but now all of a sudden it's because of Obama.
Yep.
Okay.
Because he doesn't want to lose all his money to your socialist candidate.
I was going to bring in grapes today, but I realized you guys only like sour grapes, and I didn't have any.
I
can't
hope
wait
there's
for this
a miraculous comeback.
Either way, you know, we
either
win.
Either way, we win because we're right in 2 years when the country's going down the crapper worse than it is
and
now.
And I'm sure knowing you, that's what you would hope for.
Or we win on Wednesday.
Because
I would
you're
rather
an anti-American
be right and have a good life.
No, I hope
right.
we're wrong.
The only anti-American right. I see is the guy running for president
exactly.
under the name Obama.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. That's
the terrorist running for president.
Sour grapes.
What did that old lady call him? An Arab?
Arab,
yeah. John was
right,
good.
And that's who you're sided with. That's who you've aligned yourself with.
No, not with the old lady.
No, I've aligned
yes,
myself with a patriot and a maverick.
I've not aligned
yes,
myself
have.
With the old lady.
Yes, you have.
No, I have not. Fred.
That's your base.
I don't.
That's
no,
your base.
No.
Yes, yes.
I align myself
yes.
with someone who can handle an economic crisis.
Right.
Any crisis.
Glenn.
Any crisis, that's right.
Glenn from
right.
Newburyport says, I ate.
Agrees.
Glenn exactly. from Newburyport says, I ate 10 tacos at the game on Sunday thanks to you guys.
Good.
Just
good
wanted to say gracias for the Hut Taco Bar from Qdoba. I cashed in my question of the week winnings and enjoyed the Mexican fiesta in the lot. By the way, Fred is right. The question should be harder. It sure is a heck of a prize, and we should have to work for it. I also realize Thursdays must be a blessing and a curse for you guys, what with Andy's stomach and all. Try some fruity-smelling candles. I'm sure Eric can bring some in from home. Just kidding, Eric. There's nothing wrong with a nice cranberry spice candle now and then. question is where.
See now.
I have a good sun and sand candle. It smells like the beach.
Yeah, those are big now. I like those.
It's a good, it's a nice
And they
aroma.
Make air freshener like that, too.
And yep. he's getting on me for having the furniture.
Well, I don't buy it. My wife does.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, I was sort of right. He coached the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
And developed a friendship with Halas.
Okay.
And helped Halas implement the T formation, which was basically what made the quarterback the focal point of the offense. So he kind of modernized the game there, going from the single wing and all that crap to the offense. And he oversaw the Bears kind of use it for a while.
Did he coach with the Bears?
I don't think so. Said, playing Shaughnessy's offense, the Bears became a powerhouse, winning four NFL championships from 40 to 46.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, after the University of Chicago dropped its football program, Shaughnessy coached at Stanford for a couple seasons. So yeah, he helped
revolutionize the,
and he helped build George Halas.
Yeah.
He was his right hand man who was feeding him all his good stuff. So I knew Bill made him sound important in regards to Halas and kind of the
and Halas is in
back.
The hall. So
Clark Shaughnessy should be in the damn hall.
Oh boy,
he played at Minnesota too with what's his name, right, Fred? Not with
Gino
him,
Cappelletti.
Yeah, probably not with him.
Not with him. Was, yeah, that was like
when the hell did he graduate college?
20, right. 30 years later.
He died in 1970. He was born in 1892.
Could you die now so you could stop reading this stupid bio? Friggin', who the hell is this Clark Shaughnessy?
You might want to do a little research.
Yeah.
It's part of your job. You know?
Oh, yeah, Mr. I don't know anything before 1980 is right. Telling you to do research.
I knew Clark Shaughnessy.
Never heard of Duran Duran. Now he's a Clark Shaughnessy expert.
This doesn't involve
never
my
heard
job.
Of Duran Duran?
Yes, I've heard of Duran Duran. I don't care.
And no one cares about this.
This is Clark Shaughnessy, a Hall of Fame candidate, not some stupid band.
Chris from the Bronx writes in.
No one will agree with you.
Chris says,
Bill
I was
Belichick will. You ever heard of him? He's kind of an important guy.
Never heard of him.
Chris says, get us a little quiet over
here. I was just thinking about Andy's word of the day, and I was wondering if it shouldn't be changed to a word of the week. Not that it isn't entertaining, but I like the NBA slam dunk contest. It doesn't seem to have the same sizzle that it used to. I remember being a kid and having my father gather us around the radio to listen to the word of the day. But I just don't feel the same excitement anymore. You could create a word of the day through these easy steps. One, think of a mid-sized American city. Two, add an appliance or food. Thus, you end up with items such as Newark noodle or a Paducah toaster oven. The sentence would be, Bob's girlfriend was getting bored, so he gave her a Paducah toaster oven.
And that's funny.
I have no idea what those meant, but they seem kind of funny.
Exactly.
But they are getting a little bit monotonous.
I disagree.
Well, the
Rod
city
Gobbler was tremendous.
Monotonous. Yeah.
That wasn't one.
No, Andy was talking about what he did last night.
And that made it worse.
Now, is this the thing? I never know. Is that the one that they can hear Gary or just
yes.
Us? Oh, okay. I can't always tell which one you're on.
It should only be one ear when they don't hear me.
Try it. Go ahead.
Well, I heard him.
I think I feel like
you
I'm in,
supposed to.
I feel like I'm in elementary school where they tell you to raise the hand. You hear? Remember that?
Beep.
Yeah, that was right, left, right, left.
I used to bomb those tests. Those are impossible.
Well, I would fail this one.
Yeah, you never studied. That's why.
No, those were culturally biased.
Did you have
what?
Against the island of people with one ear?
Exactly.
Or what?
Against Italians.
Did you have the thing where they try to teach a speed reading and then have the projector and you'd have to read the words as they flashed across the?
No.
I we had that.
You sure
yeah,
it
work?
That
like camp? McCarthyism propaganda or something?
Did it work?
What
Fred?
The hell are you talking about?
No.
Exactly. What
no.
were you reading? Yeah. Some Hitler pamphlet.
Obama will probably bring that back though, so they'll bring that back in the schools.
Keep it up,
like his propaganda tonight.
Keep it up. We
don't
got a boat
at the
waiting at the
for
port
more than
for all
five
of you.
Seconds.
Once Obama gets elected, you all going to ship you all off.
No, the boat.
Fred, how do you
yeah,
feel
yeah,
about like your hard-earned money going to two gender?
Yeah, that's not the way it works. So let's not.
Fairly close.
It's pablum.
Pretty much.
All that is demagoguery. Of course, it's not, you know.
Demagoguery.
Incentivize.
Share the wealth, Fred. Share the wealth.
Words out here.
What do you think it is when McCain does a tax break for people who are rich? I mean, it's no different. It's you're redistributing money that's already there. It doesn't matter which way it goes.
He's giving it to the people who paid it, though,
well,
not the people who didn't.
The only
difference is
Obama saying, let's give
minor
it.
Minor oversight, Eric.
Well, you don't earn money. Do you earn money?
Yes.
You don't want a tax break?
For the money I paid, yes.
What about
for the money you earn.
Yes.
Would you like to pay less in taxes?
Hell yeah.
Okay, vote for Obama and you'll get that.
No, you won't. Your money's going to be going to welfare.
It's that easy.
How about the people who don't work?
Yeah, those 30 whatever.
The people that don't work don't earn money, so there's no taxes to tax them.
But no, they're getting money back.
No, they're not. That's not the way you get a tax break. You don't get a check.
That's
you
what pay, his plan is,
no,
Fred.
His
plan is
you Fred. Pay less in taxes. You don't get a check,
Fred.
Nobody writes you a check.
Fred, he said, "I'm going to give a tax cut."
Cut.
That's what he said to 95% of the people in this country.
Right.
40% of whom don't pay taxes.
It's a tax cut. Whatever you're paying now, you'll pay less. That's not a check.
The people who don't pay taxes are getting one.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they're not getting a check.
You have to read more than PFW in progress, Fred.
No one's writing them a check if they don't earn any money.
That's what his plan is calling for.
It's a tax break.
He
Do you know what a tax break is?
Yes, but the people who don't pay the taxes are getting a check, which is redistribution of wealth, which is what he told Joe the plumber.
I know. And I heard somebody saying that in Ohio, they're signing up people that live on park benches to vote.
That was Acorn.
Yeah, and they don't get to – they're not voting, okay? They're not voting. They can fraudulently create those things and say that, you know, I signed up 10,000 people so that they can get paid. Those people aren't going to vote.
How about when they go in and say, I'm so-and-so?
They have to show they have to show ID.
When's the last time you showed ID to vote?
No, they don't.
If you live in a park bench, you're not going to be voting. I'm sorry, okay?
All you have to give is your
name. The people are going to be voting for their names.
And if that's all you have to run on – to say that McCain is the better guy than Obama, then I can understand why McCain's losing.
It doesn't matter who was running in that case. That's voter fraud.
It is. It's not voter fraud. It's registration fraud. Those people that are working for Acorn, they get paid on commission.
And then voter fraud.
So they're
that's
they're,
fraud.
Right. But who are they perpetrating the fraud on?
Our country.
Acorn.
Which is Obama, since he gave them that $800K to pay all
the Acorn's
people.
The one paying them, and they're paying them for fraudulent signups. But those people aren't going to vote. Those, you know.
How do you know?
Tony Romo's going to vote in Arizona?
No, the homeless people that our
homeless
friend Mark was talking
about.
Homeless
people are not voting. I'm sorry.
No, but the point is somebody can go in with the name and the address that they used on the fraudulent form and just vote.
And vote more than once.
If it's a fraudulent address.
It doesn't have to be a fraudulent address, but they know the name they made up
and the address they made up
to go with it.
Exactly.
Look, they don't just – when Acorn submits these things to the federal government, okay, they don't just take them blindly. They cross-check the address.
But by the time they do that, the election could be over and people could have voted three or four times
already. You don't get registered until they do that. That's my point.
We were all screwed.
That's my point.
The system is screwed up enough that we're even talking about it.
Was perpetrated, no doubt, but it was perpetrated on Acorn. These people are trying to get paid because they get the more they sign up, the more they get paid. So a lot of them were cheating on it. But those people, those on those fake forms, aren't going to get to vote, and a lot of them aren't even people. They're like Scooby Doo and Snoopy and Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse going to show up and vote?
No, but somebody's going to come up and say, "I'm Mickey Mouse from 17 High Street."
I have a hard time believing that the Acorn administration people didn't know that.
They're the ones that reported it.
I like when Fred gets
everything that Acorn submits gets checked. How do you think they found this stuff out? Because they look at all these forms. Meanwhile, the guy that perpetrated the fraud got his money, and he's gone. That's the problem with it. You know, if you want to say that Acorn's reporting bad numbers, absolutely, that's true. That's true. But it's not like you're going to have extra voters because of it.
I think you're a little too optimistic about that, Fred.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So when Obama wins, it's going to be because of voter fraud.
I'm not saying
is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying it's going to be because of that, but it's a problem that needs to be fixed.
Ay, ay, ay.
That's what I'm saying. Regardless of who wins or who loses, it's a problem that needs to be fixed.
It's always
if
something.
If you go to vote, if you're a citizen of this country and you go into a polling place, you should prove that you are who you say you are in order to get a ballot.
When you register, okay.
Whether it's a driver's license or a state ID or some sort of form that proves that picture, address, name, date of birth, social security number, you should prove that you are who you say you are.
I might
or
agree.
Else Andy Hart could go into three different polling places, say he's so-and-so from such-and-such an address, and vote three times, and no one's ever going to check, and no one's ever going to know.
Well,
and then the real person goes to vote, and they say, oh, you're already here.
No,
we crossed your name off.
When you go into your precinct,
yes,
you say who you are, and they look you up, and they cross it off.
They look up the name I gave them on the
list.
Right,
exactly. So if I came in and I said I was Eric Scalavino, I would be crossed off.
Right.
When you came in and they cross it off, you'd be like, hey, I'm – and they would know right there that somebody – you're saying that no one would ever find out. Of course they would find out. They'd find out when you went to go vote.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
If the name is made
it
up –
it would be too late.
If they made up a name – at X polling place, Y polling
right.
place, and Z.
But how do you think those names get on
the
list?
Can go to all three.
How do you think that those names get on that list?
Acorn registered them to vote.
No, Acorn doesn't register anyone. They
submit
forms that the federal government registers to vote.
Okay.
The federal government doesn't just take the names for granted and just put them in the logs.
So what?
They cross check the name with the address. Mickey Mouse is not going to vote. I'm sorry. No matter how much you think that that's this amazing fraud perpetrated on the fabric of America, he's not going to go up and vote with his little three white fingers in his glove.
Well, first of all, you can register to vote in the mail.
Don't make fun of the handicap.
So I don't even know what the criteria is, but I know you can fill out a little postcard, mail it in, and you're registered to vote.
The point is, let's say it's not Mickey Mouse. Let's say it's Andy Kirsch,
right.
who lives at 55 Patriot Place.
Okay.
And that name gets registered. It's on a list.
Presented by Raytheon.
You walk into a polling place.
But how does – wait. No, you skipped a step, though. He registered as Andy Hart at 50 Patriot Place.
Kirsch. Andy Kirsch.
What happens between the 55. Time that he registered and the time that he walks into the polling precinct?
You're saying that they have to verify
that
that's
who
it is?
Of course they do.
I'd like to believe that, Fred, but for some reason, I don't think that's what happens in all these cases.
If what you're saying is true, then every election we've ever had is tainted.
Well, I think that's probably true.
That could be possible, yes, and we don't know about it, Fred.
Okay, well, I'm as big a conspiracy theorist as anyone, but I don't believe that one.
All I'm saying is I always find it ridiculous that I can walk into a polling place, give any name, any address that I know of.
Right.
And I could get a ballot, and I could go to a different polling place to do the same thing. I could vote five times if
you
I
know those
to.
People's names and addresses.
Exactly.
Right? But you'll get. But what'll happen is, and that could be happening, but somebody's going to eventually come in and say who the real person is.
But the vote's already been cast.
I understand that, and that's a problem.
And that's the other
that's
problem.
My whole point.
But that's not what we're talking about with Acorn.
But that's I'm talking
but
about. That's
know?
A larger
problem. Point we're getting to.
We're talking about false registration.
But how do you
Acorn.
Know they haven't registered people that they know aren't going to vote just to do this?
Exactly.
That Young way, people, elderly right. people that just aren't interested in voting, but they signed them up using legitimate names and addresses, and now they have them on
now,
record.
Right.
They
now
know
they have
which
a list
ones
of
they
five.
Can go to and
you,
vote.
Exactly. You don't know that, but that's not, you know, that could happen with anything. I could go into Dartmouth before you got up that
right.
morning and vote as you.
Right. Right.
Right. That's the problem.
Right.
But
that has nothing to do with Acorn.
No, but
it's a
yes,
problem.
It does,
problem.
Because if Acorn has a master list of 10,000 of these that they know they can get away with, that no one's going
to
go a second time and vote, that's 10,000 free votes.
10,000
Listen
exactly.
to me. Do you know, these people that are working for Acorn are not that sophisticated. These are guys that are just come out of AA, that they sign up to do it. They don't have these master lists of people who they don't think is going to vote. I mean, it's just
now they couldn't be
you guys
managed.
Are just so paranoid.
They could be managed. No,
it's not paranoid, Fred. It's
you
it's
just can't
reality.
Believe that in this country people would vote for Obama instead of McCain.
No, this was a problem four
I'm a
years ago.
Disappointed Fred. In Americans,
Fred. This was a problem 4 years ago. It was a problem 8 years ago. It was a problem 12 years ago. Voter, you've never had to show ID to go and vote ever. Am I right? Not that I know of. That's a problem.
Anyway,
that is a problem.
But doesn't anyone want to talk football?
For those of you that are listening closely right now.
On Political Fraud Weekly in Progress.
Political Fraud Weekly in Progress with host Fred Fraud Kirsch.
Fraud Kirsch.
Tomorrow's Qdoba Question of the Week time, where you hear the ever-important question to win yourself a Taco Fiesta.
On Qdoba Question of the Week day.
120. That's 120.
Okay. 120. Tomorrow is when you call in. So those listening to the podcast tonight, now you know.
Assuming Fred's not in the midst of some political argument at
it's
that
time. It's going to be an Acorn
you
question.
You have to fast forward 20 minutes.
Well, people are very upset.
No, they're going to have to listen to this argument because this could be where the question comes
Frank
from.
Frank from Tennessee is very – he listens to the show for football and not politics.
He's like the Dennis and Callahan calls. I want a dog spot.
Well, Frank, be careful. You might learn something.
Todd Porter says, I'm paying you guys too much because you're all Republicans.
No, I've always been an independent.
That's a good point.
I am an independent.
Always have been. Always hope to be.
Oh, boy.
Fred used to be a Republican until he jumped to the...
I'm still Red. I am the guy that committed. Okay, I'm a registered Republican.
No, yeah, you should be committed.
I've been a registered Republican all my life.
Yeah, I'm a registered Republican, too, and I'm sticking with my own kind.
I don't know what that means.
That means I'm voting Republican.
I don't know what your own kind means. I don't vote party line. I vote on the person.
Which
then
is
don't register.
Then why are you registered as one thing or another?
Worse than Lincoln
Chafee. Ideological, whatever that word is.
Idiotically?
Most of the time, I side with that.
The freaking
that
round
type of
disgrace.
Thing.
And Eric
why
knows
can't,
it too.
That's why I'm a registered independent. I don't vote
right.
party line.
He's not a fraud.
So. I had thought about not, you know, going independent.
You should.
But you don't get to vote in the primary.
You yes,
can.
You do.
You can. Do.
Well, you have to register
and sign out.
Right. At disaffiliate, which I do.
Right.
I've done. I've voted in Democratic primaries. I voted in Republican primaries. It depends on who I.
He goes both ways.
Damn it! I knew I shouldn't have brought
Damn
that
it.
Up.
What was that? Who? Poor. Oh, Ron in Port St. Louis. Is that right?
Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Port St. Lucie.
Yes.
I'm reading it through a glass at Gary.
Full-time caller. I haven't called this year yet.
All right.
No, getting back to good old politics. I'll try and make it quick. Everyone, I mean, you pretty much hashed that out. You're either going to believe it or not believe it as far as what's going on. But the new concern is this campaign fundraising. And Obama, I don't know if you watch Fox News or CNN, but I like Fox News.
The smart people in the room do.
Right, oh, I thought you didn't like Fox News.
No, I like Fox News.
No, I'm talking to Eric has always denied it, but we all know he loves it.
Never denied anything. It.
But no, the situation is, if you were to try to donate $20 to McCain, to my understanding, there's a verification process to identify that it's you, the user, with your credit card. But you can go put in, Bin Laden donating $20 to Obama, and as long as the credit card's good, they take it and they don't verify the name. So you could have the Oprah Winfrey's of the world, $1 million. And going well over their budget. The man raised, I think they said, $150 million in 1 month, which is like unheard of. What do you think he's paying for this commercial tonight?
Millions and millions.
To me, it's just scary. I just bring that out to the. To me, there needs to be some. I hate to use that word regulations, but
well,
some. I like oversight. That
okay,
nice,
I mean that's fair. But the reason why he's raised so much money is because he's moved people. He's inspired people. People who never voted for. People who never contributed for.
People who don't exist.
Everyone's hurt.
All right, and people who don't exist have money.
They're all down on the economy.
How did they give him money?
His point. His point is it's not verified.
Or whether it's Joe Lucas,
the money
who's in a union. That likes Obama, you think they're sending him money?
Have
they're
you
not,
seen?
I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense.
People won't like
look,
this show.
Look, I am sure. I am sure that the McCain campaign is up that. With a fine tooth, you know, with a flashlight, looking at any way. That,
what?
How many
metaphors did he mix there?
Flashlight.
They are looking for any way they can bring Obama down for anything, including his campaign fundraising. So if there is, so if you're right, they'll find it out.
I just wanted to bring that campaign fund issue up.
They'll find out.
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for that that for the one to prove that he was actually born in the United States.
Okay, because you don't believe that.
I haven't seen evidence
okay,
of it yet,
okay.
Fred.
All right,
I've not seen proof. Have
I
you,
don't.
Andy?
No, I have not.
Right?
No. Have you, Mike?
No, sir.
Gary?
Proof? I think he was born in Baghdad.
So Eric
I really
does
do.
Not believe that.
I think he's a plot. He's basically a plot to bring
so
down
well.
America.
Can you turn on me?
I mean, everybody's emailing in about politics now.
Was that our first ever political call, by the way?
I think it was. We're now taking calls on politics.
But
from Port St. Lucie.
We have people all over
this is
emailing
Hardball,
in
Chris
now.
Matthews.
So should we go? Should
let's
we answer
be honest.
These?
The hosts on TV don't know anything either. I was telling Fred, Lou Dobbs just goes,
oh, he's, no.
What's her name? Diva? What is it? Maverick Diva?
Yeah.
And he just goes, Maverick Diva. I don't know what that. We'll talk about it next. Then he comes back and he just goes, Maverick Diva. He never says anything.
No,
it's a
no
CNN
substance.
Show and he says nothing.
That's CNN for you.
Well, that's the problem. You're watching substance. CNN, first of all. You're not going to get anything.
But none of those other ones are in HD. I'll start watching them when they're in the 800s. I only watch HD.
Well, should we answer political emails if we get back to football?
Blew him up to get back to football.
So Gary says get back to football.
At one point.
So how about that Clark Shaughnessy, huh?
Yeah, he's looking a little better now, isn't he?
Actually,
we're talking
probably Acorn. More interesting. I don't know. But anyway, John writes in. He said he was listening to Tuesday's podcast. No, this is John from, I think, South Carolina. And he says, by the way, Mike, you don't get to say we can't all be homers. Oh, wait a minute. Did I miss a paragraph? No. He says, this is about Matt challenging you.
Right, yeah.
He says, about the challenge. In the
Matt
words
in
of Mikey, you can't win. My advice is to find an amateur boxer to represent you. It would be an honest test as long as you don't try to find a ringer. However, since you are a New York fan, I'm sure you will try to find a ringer.
That would be Mikey to the guy who hasn't seen Rocky.
Right.
Mickey, not Mikey.
Also, by the way, Mike, you don't get to say we can't all be homers. You are a wannabe homer, a New York homer, but you don't have an interest in living there. Don't feel bad. I am a New England wannabe homer, as I live in South Carolina, but I am too much of a wuss to live in New England. At least I did live there for 25 years. Not moving back to New England has a lot to do with 2,000 square feet home with an acre of land for under $90,000.
Well, exactly. That's my point. I mean, I have family here. That's why I'm not moving to New York.
So
he's doing it for financial reasons.
He's a homer for
the
Cubs.
Well, that too. You want to live in New York City? That's good.
Question. What is up with all the staph infections? Manning, Brady, Edwards, and I know I've heard of at least one other player this year. Is the press just starting to pay attention, or is this an anomaly? The staph infections?
No, it's a growing problem. There was actually a story in the Boston Globe, unrelated to any sports, that staph infections have existed forever on two levels. One is in the hospitals. It has a certain scientific name. And then another in the everyday life. And people didn't contract those. But now the problem is, for some reason, they're contracting those, going to the hospital, and the staph infections are, like, mutating together and forming a new type of staph
infection.
A new strain that's based on the two coming together. And obviously, anytime that happens in nature, generally the new being is stronger than the other two. It takes the best of both.
And it takes time to get a remedy for it.
And it also, a lot of people believe, has to do with the overuse of antibiotics and the overuse of antibacterial soaps and different things, where people aren't developing enough of an immunity towards these things. So, no, it's a societal issue that is, I think, going to get worse. And you're going to notice it more in sports because that's where you most notice injuries and guys missing time. And if your doctor has one and he's out for a while, you don't know because he's home and you don't care.
You don't really want an infection on your staff.
No.
Why do we
hire
you then?
Mike knows from experience.
No,
oh, good one. One infection after another here.
John also wants to know if Sanders is going to be available on Sunday for the Colts.
Bob Lewis? Sanders?
Oh, Bob.
Bob.
James? Bob.
We don't know.
He was targeting this game. I mean, I don't have – the injury report hasn't come out
yet.
Was
it 4 to 6 weeks was his time frame, and this would be the week?
Yeah, I just know he specifically even said he was targeting the Patriots game, so I'm sure they will keep that a question until game time.
And what about a
Dye? Same thing for him. This was his target, too.
Yeah, but I'm not as confident on him. I think there's a better chance you see Sanders than a Dye.
Let's hope we don't see either one of them.
Yes, Homer, Eric.
Should probably also hope you don't see Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark and Anthony Gonzalez.
We're going to see them, I think.
Because just so you know, I'm not sure we've seen this secondary against four legitimate receivers.
This
like
is going to be a good test, though.
No,
I would say three and
test.
A half legitimate receivers.
If
they can hold up against this.
Yeah. Harrison's a bum. He's done.
They have a legitimate chance. He
can still I'm excited to see what they can do.
It's no Malcolm Floyd who went deep against his team, but
they were still getting adjusted. Matt from Bristol.
Last week?
Matt from
in the
Bristol.
Fourth quarter?
Malcolm Floyd's on that team?
No.
Matt from Bristol.
Are you going to stop and go home and cry like Paul did?
Matt from Bristol says, I live in UK, and although I'm a first-time emailer, I've been a big fan of the show for over 2 years.
Oh, Bristol, England.
Yes. Oh, you know it?
Well, he said UK. So I thought he meant Bristol, Connecticut, Bristol, Rhode Island.
Well, no, just so you know, everything we have over here, we stole from there.
Yeah, I know, but...
On Sunday, I went to London to see the Saints beat the Chargers.
England.
It was an awesome day. The game was one of the best regular season games I have seen this year, and fair to say, better than last year's 13-10 mudfest between the Dolphins and the Giants. The geniuses at the league say they're going to continue bringing meaningful games to the UK. Do you think this is a good idea? And what are the chances the league asks the Pats to play over here anytime soon?
I was actually thinking that
I'm
the
sure
other day.
That's coming up real soon.
Well, it sounds like they're going to go 17 games before they go 18, and the 17th will be an international game for every team.
Yeah.
And
17.
The more they, if there's an international game every year, there's a good chance Patriots going to be in England or in France or somewhere over there.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Well,
I don't think it really hurts anybody.
No.
I mean, logistically, it's kind of an idea.
Did you hear Sean Payton crying about
the plane sucked,
the muddy field?
Yeah. They can't do that. They can't control the weather.
Don't they control their own plane?
Well, that's what I say. The things that they can control, they have to make them top notch. The hotel, the food, the plane.
But why isn't the Saints, why aren't they just getting the normal charter flight or whatever they get?
Because I don't think this is paid by the team. We have a deal with Delta.
Right.
Yeah.
If we went to China, for example, Delta would not be taking us. It was a league thing, so the league would have to be doing making the deal. Now it could end up being
interested
Delta,
as we speak.
But
yeah, we're gonna be on a propeller.
Sean Payton said they were on a 30-year-old small crappy plane. Well, I'm not taking no prop plane to China.
And the league's trying to save money.
Saving lives.
Yeah. That's a big body of water pond you're trying to cross.
Matt there. Says one thing that made me laugh was an interview with Antonio Gates in the game day program. He had been asked who he thinks are the best tight ends in the league, and he replied, "I think Ben Watson is the most underrated in this league right now. He's the one I watch, and I'm like, I like the way he plays the game. He's able to get open, makes moves, and runs after the catch."
No, those guys didn't say catch the ball.
Those guys can make
runs
you miss.
After somebody else catches the ball.
At 250 pounds, a guy that can run and put a move on you was pretty special. Is he watching the game, same player we are? Whilst I certainly don't think Watson has been a total bust, for a first-round pick who was marketed as a playmaker in the passing game, he hasn't lived up to my expectations. With number 12 under center and an offense that likes to go airborne, surely we should be looking at to acquire an elite tight end at the next available opportunity. This would make defenses respect the underneath more and allow the other receivers more space to go deep. Finally, here are some over-unders, as we haven't done these for quite a while. Patriots regular season wins this year, 9.5.
Over.
Over.
Over. Patriots TDs versus Colts, 2.5.
Under.
Over.
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 Over. All right.
Over. Yeah. Colts points versus Pats. Colts points versus Pats, 23.5.
Over.
Under.
Under. Over.
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 How many more Super Bowls will Brady win before he's done? 1.5.
Under.
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 Under. So one more or less.
Or that's what it means.
Yeah, they won't take one away from him. It won't be negative one.
It's zero or one.
Anyway, that's all I have for you. Keep up the good work. I think you're
all
great,
this
except
year,
for Eric.
A half. Well, screw you then.
What did he say to you?
I don't know.
Something about bad. Except for Eric.
I think we're all great except Eric. It's Mike, you all right over there?
Yeah, why?
You're very quiet.
I'm good. Thank you.
I mean, between you and Paul, I don't know. Did you guys have a late night last night or something?
Oh.
I was up late.
Together?
Not with Paul, but no.
Who are you
I was
with?
Just up late. No, nobody.
So shouldn't Paul be coming back by now?
That's a good point.
Think,
unless they started late. That happens often.
Or he passed a buffet.
That happens often.
Tim from Plano, Texas.
Then he passed it again.
I'll try not to sound too overreactive, and I know this isn't the first email of this type you are probably now receiving, but for the sake of discussion, assuming that Castle continues to show improvement in his play this year and gets the Patriots to the playoffs, a significant accomplishment, would the Patriots consider overpaying Castle in 2009 for a one-year deal?
No.
No.
They might consider it, but I think another team will consider more giving him
It all depends on what he considers.
Would. Right.
First of all.
This is a decision on his end. Somebody's going to give him money if he takes him to the playoffs.
Yeah.
One of the reasons to consider, they would be essentially buying a one-year insurance policy in the event that Brady's knee has any setbacks or if his rehab extends to a PUP status to start the year. Also, if Tom were to show up ready to go at 100%, they could possibly trade Castle before the season to a club willing to give him a new deal. The only drawback I would see would be the extra money to pay for a backup who was franchised. So he's saying maybe they should franchise him. Didn't SD do something similar with
San Diego? San Diego.
No, you wouldn't. If you franchise.
You're not paying him the average of the top five quarterbacks in
the
league.
No way.
He's not a top five quarterback.
And then you diminish his trade value because teams aren't probably going to throw that much money.
No one's going to give you two first-round picks for Matt Castle.
But they'll probably offer more than New England would have offered him if they wanted to keep him, I would imagine.
Yeah, the only way they keep Castle is if they sign him now. That's the only way.
But why would he do that?
Yeah,
exactly. But that's the only way they could do it.
Yeah, he's gone. There's no – I just
– Or if something happened
and Brady retires,
Brady couldn't come back or wasn't going to be available for the –
But you don't know that till after the season until his contract's up.
All right, we're just going to assume that Brady's coming back next
year. I'm just saying, barring some unforeseen thing, you know, like he's already had three extra surgeries we didn't think he was going
to have. His contract ends March 1st, right, with all the other contracts, I'm assuming, right?
Castle, I would imagine, yeah.
So, I mean, unless they make a decision before them, they have no rights to him.
Right.
It's not like they can decide to resign him.
Well, they can franchise him.
Yeah, they could franchise him, but they're not going to do that.
No.
They're not going to pay him.
They can. It's physically possible.
Sure they could.
It's an option.
They could do that.
They're listing options.
But now you're paying him, what, $10 million?
At least.
Yeah. No way.
Well, I mean, if you have no quarterback, I mean, it's an option. What if Brady is hurt, and this looks like it's going to be long, and we talked about Todd Collins is making four and change this year. So you're looking for a veteran, and the market is telling you got to pay $4 or $5 million to get a legitimate veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that $10 million becomes more palatable for a year. I don't know. I'm just
I think maybe at that point you get into the bidding, perhaps. But I don't think anyone's going to pay him that much.
But you can't compete in bidding. You can't because someone's going to give him a signing bonus and a long-term deal. The only way you could possibly keep him, as far-fetched as it is to franchise him.
Right. Because then there's no signing bonus attached. Exactly.
Then it's just that $10 million on the books the 1 year, and you're out from underneath it.
And you know it's going to be hard for the kid. No matter how much money gets thrown at him, to pass up an opportunity to start.
He's never
exactly.
had it.
Absolutely.
The one time to go to Kansas City, mm-hmm. and he's the guy.
Right.
It's his job to lose. Yep. He's never had that feeling.
And besides, the Patriots invested a third-round pick in Kevin O'Connell. He's going to have to play at some point. You're not going to waste a pick like that for just some guy who sits on your bench forever. So I'd say the most likely scenario is Castle leaves. They look for a Todd Collins type veteran who might be available.
That's what I think.
In an emergency, or you know, if as insurance, if Brady does come back and he's not maybe 100%, that gives O'Connell an extra few games or an extra year, maybe to build up on his experience in the system, learn the offense, and you know, you're developing your quarterback of the future.
But again, as Fred said earlier. Let's focus on right now. Then.
Exactly.
2 weeks ago, you wanted to cut him, and now you're so happy you
Let's
want to sign
an extension.
A franchise deal. And how about just say, hey, we're 5-2. That's pretty good with a backup quarterback.
Montreal Mike in Florida says, do you guys think the Patriots are over the Brady injury? I know Castle's getting better every week, and the guys might have confidence in him during the regular season. Do you guys get the feeling they think Castle can take them back to the promised land? Throwing all the injuries since then, does this team still believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
To me, winning the division would be like winning the AFC Championship. And if they were to win the AFC Championship, it would be like winning the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, as unlikely as it would be more impressive than 16-0 season and perhaps Belichick's most impressive coaching accomplishment.
I would argue the last part.
I would argue that last part, too. 19-0 would have still been, or even 16-0,
18-1.
Well, I think winning a title supersedes a undefeated regular season where you're losing the Super Bowl.
I'm not holding my breath, however, as a Pats fan. I just don't want them to give up. They certainly didn't give up during their first Super Bowl run, and I'd like to think the fire is still in them. Listening to Seymour this week, he may be hot and cold this season, but he still seems to have the fire burning, and he doesn't like to lose. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that fire gets hotter the each week as they win games and as Castle gets better. I think they start seeing, hey, we actually do have a chance, and they're seeing what's going on around the league, and the Titans are the only undefeated team, and the rest of the league is awful. They look at it like, hey, we could still get a bye. We could still make the playoffs. We could still get to the Super Bowl.
That's how every team should be looking at it right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even a team like the Colts, that have given up on the division.
Right.
If they get hot, then they are once again the favorites. There's nobody that's unbeatable this year or even looks close to flawless. They all have flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, Mike's on the phone from Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Two quick questions for you. First is Terrence Wheatley. They put Mike Richardson in instead of Terrence. Last time they put Jonathan Wilhite in instead of Terrence, and the reason being was that Terrence is an outside guy. What's going on with Wheatley? He seemed to play consistent all through the preseason and through camp, yet for some reason the coaching staff isn't putting him out before a guy who should really be staying on the practice squad.
Well, there's clearly something there that they see that we don't in meetings or on the practice field that he's not getting.
Right. I got to think it's a mental adjustment. It's a Brandon Merriweather was the same way. Clearly, mentally, it wasn't coming last year. And then, as Bill said, whatever the date was, the light switch kind of went on, and he played a lot there in reserve role later on. It just seems like Mike Richardson, who's been here for a year plus now, gets the benefit of the doubt, although we saw Wheatley last week some, but the first week, 2 weeks ago,
we saw
the Broncos.
Last week.
Well, yeah. 2 weeks ago against the Broncos was where it was a healthy scratch for Wheatley, mm-hmm. and they promote Richardson from the practice squad to play.
If it's a mental thing, that's very surprising because all we heard during the draft, the day they got him and all that week afterwards, was how smart the kid was. And, you know, we've all talked to him. He is a smart kid.
But football smart versus
it's still surprising because even in
we fell victim to Fred. Fred was in love with the guy. Fred told us he played corner since sixth grade and that he was going to walk on the field and be great. And
he held his own versus Moss in training camp. We were all surprised.
It's one of the most odd stories in the summer.
In the preseason.
He was.
Well, the quarterback position. It's just the cornerback position this year. It's not just him.
No.
Yeah.
Fernando Bryant was the starter until he was cut. So we don't have a read on what's going on at corner.
Mike, you said you had two questions.
Yeah. The other question I have, well, it's more so a comment, is I just wanted to say sorry to Mike, but I had to run back upstairs before the game last Sunday because
you were in your luxury suite.
We don't have a media elevator up, unlike you guys.
Is that a shot at me?
No shot. No,
just okay. Saying, sounds like you two were getting together for a little loving before the game. And
I wouldn't call it loving, Andy, but no, that was a nice conversation. Yes. I like seeing all the fans.
He's a man of the people.
I am a man of the people.
That's good. It's good.
Similarities continue.
The man has a death wish.
He's running for the mayor of the South End Zone.
Oh, you have some competition with Bilo, though.
That's
true. See what he did there, though, Freddie. Mayor of the South End. I like that.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
I really can't compete with Bilo. Paul's back from practice. Head's still in the gutter.
Paul's back. Okay, Mike, thanks for the call.
It's cold.
See you, Mike.
Paul, what's going on?
We got some good news, Freddie.
Okay.
Well, like Brady practiced.
No, we'll have to wait to see. That would be illegal. That would not be good news. We'll have to wait to see how good as the week unfolds. But Lamont Jordan, back in practice.
All right. All right.
Nice. Shells and shorts.
Lamont,
helmets. But still, out on the field. And there was a group of guys missing, and most of which were all the guys that got banged up on Sunday were all out there.
Hobbs.
All the guys.
Delph O'Neill.
No, I misspoke. Hobbs. Hobbs is the one guy, one addition that would.
He's the guy who said, "Don't worry, I'll be out there. I'm fine."
Hobbs, he said he'd be out there on Sunday.
Hobbs, Lewis Sanders, Sammy Morris. It's like point counterpoint all over again.
They won't let you talk.
Hobbs, Sammy Morris.
Going to stop.
Yeah. And Lewis Sanders and Sean Crable. So, the other three guys were on the injury list last week, and the only addition would be Ellis Hobbs.
All right.
A lot of black shirts. You guys interested in those at all?
Yes.
Sure.
A trickier concept than you would just originally think. Hard to tell the difference between blue and black from a distance.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah, it is tough.
It's a little easier when the guy's an offensive guy. Mark LaVore was one of the black shirts. That was an easy one.
Sure.
He normally wears white. Same with Bubba Ventrone.
The Pulse story.
So, Terrence Wheatley, Ray Ventrone, Pierre Woods, Mark LaVore, and Vince Redd.
Well, that's like two or 3 weeks.
Now, I was going to bring this up to you, Andy, that I thought of as I was walking back.
Terrence Wheatley, though, that's
Sean Crable has yet to be active, and he's been hurt the last couple of weeks. Vince Redd seemingly making a push from the practice squad. Mm-hmm. A couple of strong weeks of practice where he's earning the Bubba Ventrone Practice Player of the Week award.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I like it.
Maybe we're going to switch.
Like
Where's Crable going to go?
IR.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
He had plenty of energy and bounce in his step in the locker room.
He sure did.
I have nothing to base that on other than it seems like Vince Redd is playing well in practice and Sean's
like a logical move.
It troubles me that Wheatley got one of those jerseys, though, because that means he's seeing more time on the scout team than he is with the ones and the twos.
Well, I think all you had to do was see the game and know that he was the last defensive back off the bench last week.
I realize that, Paul. I'm saying that adds to
what we've been.
That just adds to it.
I assume you guys just talked about that. I mean,
you
had O'Neill, you had Hobbs to start.
Right.
Sanders was already out.
Richardson.
They came in with Will Height.
Yep.
They came in with Richardson, and oh man, we got to call a timeout and find someone else. Terrence Wheatley. I mean, I think
he's on the sideline.
He's at the bottom
of
the depth.
I know,
but
it's just troubling. It was a second round pick. This wasn't just some free agent that they signed.
Doesn't care where they were picked.
We're not even as far into the year as last year when the first round pick wasn't playing. And the first-round pick is now a starter that everybody feels pretty good about. Mm-hmm.
He turned the corner last year at some point.
It happens.
The light switch came on.
Secondary's tough to learn. A lot going on back
there.
We
also had a first-round pick who's been playing since day one.
The only thing I could say about that is some guys that are getting in ahead of him, like Will Height, are lower-round picks.
But didn't Antoine Spahn play last year?
No, it's fine.
Over Brandon Merriweather?
Antoine Spahn wasn't a second-round pick, though. That's,
But that's Brandon Merriweather was a first-round pick who did not play.
Yes.
And then he was a first-round pick who was a big part of the defense late in the year
and
is now a starter and everybody
corner.
Loves
and
he's great.
I know.
And there were undrafted guys that were playing over him.
Right. My point is we're seven games in.
No, I know.
I mean, there's still plenty of time.
Well, we are halfway in.
I am surprised.
Right.
Based on training camp, I'm surprised.
Right. That's the point.
I thought he looked good.
He looked like a starter when Bryant got cut.
That's
he's gone from starter to bottom of the depth chart.
That's what right. That was just us.
If he hadn't shown that in the preseason, I wouldn't have be a surprise right now. But he showed promise in the
but
preseason.
But maybe,
so.
Like Mike said, I don't know maybe Wheatley is specifically an outside type of cornerback where he doesn't like to play in the middle of the field.
He's not playing outside or inside.
More of a one.
When they put him in, they put him on the outside.
But I do think that's why
Will Height's an inside guy.
Right.
It's the fact that Richardson.
He's not playing over anybody.
Right. It's the fact that Richardson got playing time. That's the one that troubled me, because Will Height is clearly a slot corner,
right.
And Wheatley is clearly an outside corner.
Exactly.
So I don't really think Will Height was playing over Wheatley in Bill's mind. Now, we might look at it and say, you know, Bill wants the better player on the field, regardless if he's better suited. But, you know, that's an individual skill. Mm-hmm. It's like the slot receiver that Bill always talks about. That's another starting spot, right? Nickelbacks and starting and slot receivers and designated pass rushers, all those things.
Yeah.
I am surprised, because it looked like Wheatley was pretty good in training camp.
That you mentioned slot receivers, it just made me think of this. I want to get your thoughts on it, Fred. How many times have we seen Randy Moss getting that wide receiver screen pass, and it goes for 1 to 3 yards, mm-hmm. and it gets snuffed out? I mean, you know, not. I don't want to really question Josh McDaniels, but what?
But I will anyway.
Is that the right way to be using Randy Moss in those situations?
How did we get from yesterday?
He was talking about wide receivers, slot guys, and it just made me think of that. And so,
no, I mean, obviously, I don't think that they cover Moss, you know, in those situations close to the line. They're giving him a cushion. They're taking advantage. That could be a check down from Castle. I don't know. I agree with you, though. I don't think that from a running start at the line of scrimmage, Moss isn't going
to
go far unless he has an amazing wall of blockers in front of him.
But the idea is to get blocks.
Yeah, it is. But he's just not that fast off the block.
But, like, they run it with Welker, and it's pretty successful. They run it with Gaffney a lot, or Falk.
Different
it's successful.
Type of runner.
Right.
Quicker.
They run it with Moss. It doesn't seem to go anywhere.
Moss isn't quick.
To me,
he's
Welker's
fast.
The only one that makes that play work.
Yeah. Well,
because
first
he
of
is
all,
so quick.
It's impossible for Matt Light to make the block. 9 out of 10 times, the play is done before Matt Light gets out there.
But Welker,
that's the biggest
Welker
problem.
Welker is able
with.
To make that guy miss.
But that's because
he can
quit.
Make the first guy
but
miss.
I can
never
see the
catch
theory
him.
Behind it. If you get the blocks, if you block the two guys that are close, then Moss has time to pick up speed.
Yeah.
In theory, when they draw it up on the little chalkboard and the number 72 line gets out there before Moss goes up, it works perfect.
Now
it just doesn't work on the field.
On the other hand, they did that little slip screen and Moss scored. In the last game.
Yeah.
So
that was a successful one. I think. And
that was like the first one.
It was like 27 yards, too.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Fred, overall. I think that Randy's better.
His
yards after the catch come untouched. I bet you he doesn't have great yards after contact.
Right.
Whereas
Welker.
Well, he doesn't really get contact.
Yeah.
He usually
does
a little slide.
Right.
But I think they're just trying to take
it.
Which
is fine.
No problem with that.
No.
Other teams give him a cushion, and they're saying, well, how can we use the cushion? That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Brian in Baltimore.
How's it feel?
He stunned me.
Brian in Baltimore. Hey, guys, and Eric, great show yesterday. Loved it when Fred said Peyton looked like a penis. I have to.
No, an uncircumcised penis.
I've said that so many times. I'm in my office during the show, and I had to cover my mouth to not laugh out too loud. Anyway, I was thinking, I don't think you really need to have actual experience playing football to be able to analyze and comment on the game. But I was just curious, which one of you guys has the most actual experience playing football?
Fred.
Andy.
Not me. I didn't play college.
Did you wrestle at Emerson?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Did you have a singlet?
I told somebody that story yesterday, and they go, I don't know if I made this up or not.
Yeah.
Did you know Kyle's going to Emerson right now?
He is?
I didn't know that, no.
He got back into school?
I knew that.
Journalism.
For his master's?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because he told me he had a diploma.
I was going to say, he might
resume?
Be going for his undergrad.
A number of people have told you that, and you bought it.
It's not for an undergrad degree. It's a creative writing course.
Okay.
Oh, he's taking a course.
Yes.
Not,
No.
Oh, and he's
adult
not taking
ed.
A full slate
adult
of.
Ed.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you meet a lot of girls at those adult
He
ed.
Said he's the only male person in
look
the class.
Into it,
all girls.
In journalism?
Also,
yeah, that's
he also
surprising.
Yesterday when he was leaving said, I didn't do my homework, but I'm going to go anyway. Guy's paying for a single course, which, like, this isn't high school or college where you're getting by, and he's not even doing the homework.
Donna's giving him too much work to do.
And
that's the problem.
Casual Kyle.
No, but Andy,
casual
you're the only one here that played college football. You know,
Eric played college. Well,
don't,
Eric
just,
was
don't,
on a college
don't.
Football team.
What?
Eric was a kicker. Andy is the only one with any.
Like I said,
college
Eric,
experience.
You're the only one that has any experience playing college
He's Andy, by the way.
Now
just called him Eric.
Oh, did I?
For
that's
Christ the meanest
Fred.
Thing you've ever said.
Call
me
really
fathead all you want, but don't
I mean,
ever call me
you were
Eric.
On the team. Let's put it that way.
I was on the team too, Fred.
I'm not talking to you.
I don't know who you are. You're looking at me, but you're like talking to him. What are you talking about?
Eric, do you really want to go down that road?
I was on the team, Fred.
That's like McCain wanting to talk about the Bush years. Do we really want to talk about that?
That's Bush.
Coach Allen and I had a disagreement.
Remember yesterday? Did you hear that, Paul?
Sorry to totally just...
At least McCain has years to talk about.
Get
anyway.
Off the topic.
Oh, hell yeah.
When Cedric Maxwell yelled, "There goes Furbush."
Yes. Very funny.
And hey, Fred, Miss Furbush.
Hey, Miss Furbush.
And up that's not...
Very appropriate that Gary walks in with the word of the day right now.
That's her name, though.
Yeah, but...
That's
like
why
us.
You had to explain
it's
it.
Like us when we're watching, when we're here and we just yell out, "Hey, the pro cock."
Careful.
There's really a commercial about pro cock, but when you just yell pro cock, it sounds
that's
bad.
That's why he said it, her name was whatever, and it's right. Going to be.
It's a commercial.
Some would say I'm a pro.
Somebody's at the door.
Hey, this is Brian Morey from the Hall at Patriot Place. Now it's time for smartass Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word.
Maybe if Brian wasn't making fun of me so much, he'd have time to do that radio show that he supposedly does but has skipped the last 2 weeks in a row. I'm just saying, Fred.
Today's phrase is acorn liquor.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
You missed a good one.
We took our first political call.
Yep. And we've got how many political emails do
Thank
we have?
God,
I haven't even read them yet.
Well, how many? We've got a bunch.
At least five of them.
At least five came in right emails away. And a political phone call after our 15-minute discussion.
But did five of them say, "Stop talking politics"?
Yes.
No, I hope so.
That's what they should be.
The rest were like adding to the argument.
Good.
I forwarded one to you.
Fred knows less about politics than he does about the Patriots.
That's true. But he's equally as passionate, which is weird.
Yeah.
But they should not. I mean, obviously, this is going to come to an end next Tuesday.
See you next
Tuesday. We're not going to continue talking
politics. It's up to you guys. It's up to you guys. My case will have been
made. Unless they start taking our wealth, Andy, and spreading it around.
Well, I know for me, it's going to stop
next Tuesday.
Roughly after January 20th,
Paul,
because I'm going to be out of house and home around the middle of the next year.
Okay. Well, you're ineligible to talk about it because you don't vote.
But I'm in a lot of trouble.
Why? Why are you in more trouble than me?
I don't know why you don't think you are in trouble.
I know.
I haven't been able to figure that out for the last 2 years.
Maybe because I don't listen to the idiots that are feeding you.
No, I'm listening to Biden and Obama.
Yeah, okay.
They're the ones telling me what the threshold is.
Exactly.
You're over it, my friend.
Yep.
My friend.
Actually, I'm not.
John McCain.
Actually, I'm not.
I think Fred's that guy. He has no money. I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. I can barely make the minimum monthly payments.
But this is still Brian. He says, "If I had to make a team based on what I know about you PFW guys, I would put you all in the following positions. Fred would be the headstrong fullback and lead blocker that never gets any credit." That's true. Andy seems to be the most athletic. Well, we've proved that false.
That's
but anyway, I'll add to his big head by making him the starting tailback. Paul could take up space and be our Vince Wilfork and play the D-line. Mike would probably want to be the quarterback because I can tell he would enjoy telling people what to do, and the fact that he always thinks he's right
and
would make him a good fit.
And the fact that he likes his hands under center.
That's why I'm surprised.
Gary would be our middle linebacker because sometimes I think he just doesn't like anyone, which would be good because he could get his frustrations out by hitting people. Two Ginger seems like a pansy, so he would probably be a good kicker or punter. But then again, he would probably blow it. You would probably blow every kick like it's a lunch order.
That's a kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Eric. It's pretty obvious he would be a center long snapper because we all know he enjoys bending over, tossing up, hiking balls.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, next
we email. Know that one. Okay. So.
At least he didn't go with the obvious wide receiver. Right. Hopes to be a tight end.
Was born a tight end but developed into a wide receiver.
I don't know why you're looking at me like that.
TG and NJ.
It hurts more coming from me.
Guys, what's the running back situation really? Is there anyone out there worth getting? Maroney is done. Sammy and Jordan might be too far in the old and beat up side to go the distance. Although I like the guy with ever Patriots players' names. He's just
every
Ben Jarvis.
He
Green
means
Ellis.
Every Patriots player's name. He's just one guy. Evans is fine as a fullback, and as we all know, thanks to Andy's expert football knowledge, Fox skills are diminishing.
Shut up.
So who's going to run the ball?
Well, Paul just broke the news that Lamont Jordan is back on the practice field.
Yeah.
I think at the very least, you know, it gives the Colts something to think about this week. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's out there, they see that he practiced on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even if he can't go. And I did get some word, Fred, that there's some that NFL Network report about Sammy Morris. There was a report in the paper today also seemed to back up that claim. I'm hearing three weeks.
Wow. Mm. That's very unfortunate and frustrating.
Right.
Well,
but it's two seasons in a row when he's literally been like ready to take over the reins as the lead back, he gets hurt.
But at least it's not season ending in these reports, at least.
Well, they'll need him for the stretch run. That's the good news, and he'll be back for that.
Yeah.
Jack from Indiana says, I just started listening to the show this year because my pompous, arrogant roommate, Matt from Connecticut, listens to the show religiously on full blast in our room. In addition to being being a Patriots fan, I'm also a Notre Dame fan. My question is, how do you feel about Mike Richardson and Mark Lavoie, both former Notre Dame players, have performed in their replacement roles?
Lavoie's done well.
Has done well.
He's done well in that he hasn't done anything that made us, he hasn't committed any egregious penalties. He hasn't given up any sacks.
Lavoie's done fine. I haven't noticed anything of Richardson, positive or negative. I mean, I haven't.
The secondary as a whole is just such a mess right now.
Yeah, and I can't credit one guy or blame another. To me, they're all part of the problem. Whereas Lavoie, there seems to be less pressure off the right side than there was when Casual was playing.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I do.
Absolutely.
I think Lavoie has been an improvement.
I think you're right.
I think he's also showing that of the two, he's got more legitimate NFL skills. I think Mike Richardson is like a 4A corner. He's a guy that probably has enough talent, football knowledge, instincts to get cut as number 56 on the roster and then come back at some point when you have injuries and just bounce, be one of those guys we've seen.
And he's also been hurt a lot. Hurt again the other day covering a kick, had to miss some time at the end of the game. So I'm not all that excited about Mike Richardson.
All right, Gary, it's 1:37. That means we have to take a break. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Super League championship in the history books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, a new technique!
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
June 26, 2008. Just want to say a quick thank you to the hundreds of people who attended the show on the Cape earlier this month, where I was displaying with a handful of other very talented artists. I enjoyed meeting those of you who took the time to stop and admire my paintings and photography, and for all your kind words. I'm currently in the middle of about 10 new paintings, which I hope to complete before the end of the summer, and in the near future, you may see a bit of a new look to the website to reflect the new directions I'm taking with my work.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
So who are you addressing
it's
that
to?
It's
not even your favorite team that you have to get these blog readings
who
from, apparently.
Who are you addressing that to?
Whoever was reading it.
What's the like
not two gender,
who
though.
Are you addressing it to?
His fans. Does,
how many people go to your website?
I get average about 300 to 400 unique hits a month.
Really?
Yes, I have.
Other
the,
than people that listen
track.
To this show,
I don't know. that's how
that?
It was. That's how it was before I got
that's
on the show.
That's holding up breath after been. Next Tuesday.
So, like, how other than typing in Eric Scalavino in Google, how would someone find out about your website if
his
they didn't
hat.
Know?
I had three shows earlier this year. The first half of this year,
oh,
I had three
right.
shows,
good
and
shows.
At those shows, you have your information
that's true.
Displayed.
People
and,
go and
yeah.
I just wanted to question something. You're a writer, so you know that every word is important.
Yes.
Something you said on display with some other. Very talented artists.
Uh-huh.
That's implying that you're a talented
that
artist.
That implies you were talented.
Oh, Eric just threw a bottle
he's throwing things at him. Wow.
And you also said going in a new
all
direction.
All right.
Never mind.
We've got things
what
people we need,
was
we need
that?
To talk
sales?
About. People are
South?
Yeah. Chris, with
have you unveiled
like
a new website?
3 hours to finish the shading on your upper
I made
lip.
Some changes to it. I'm going to have to do an overhaul in the off season. I don't have time.
It's
for
probably
that.
The best drawing I've ever done.
For the good of the show, right, Gary?
Chris with a T-I-A-N.
I'm promoting your website. I know you are.
Yeah,
you,
those 400 you. Hits all come from us.
Well done, Gary.
Speaking of promoting
you
websites,
sold anything.
You got to buy your T-shirts on pfwinprogress.com.
Yes. And so. Go there. And also tell him you'd like to start a Fan Hall of Fame Top 25.
Well, we haven't decided that yet.
I like the idea.
It's a good idea.
With it being able to move every day.
I don't
want
to commit to that until we find out the criteria for getting into the hall.
You're a girl.
Fred's big
boobs.
On a criteria.
We also need to find out if we have 25 listeners.
Show us your rack.
I don't think that just because you call or email a lot automatically gets you in.
No.
No, it's the quality like we of said, those calls and emails.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there are
we
certain people that
substance.
Like to email the
same
email
The decisions of the judges are
over.
Final.
We don't like those.
No refunds. You know you can't buy a Halloween costume and take it back?
I would assume.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Make some tough decision making. I did see the Rocky costume last night at.
I thought you were Eli.
I thought you could rent those costumes at the.
You can rent real ones, like fancy ones.
I'm not Eli anymore because the next party I was supposed to go to was this Saturday, and we're flying, so. I had to give back my
Halloween's
shoulders.
On a Friday. Why aren't these people having it on Friday?
I don't
Friday?
Know. I don't make the schedules.
It's the perfect time to have a Halloween
Nobody
party.
Nobody has a Halloween party on Halloween. They're always all over
because they're
place.
Always during the week.
But Halloween's on a
Halloween
Friday.
Not on a Friday or Saturday.
It's the perfect night to have one.
You only have a couple of opportunities to actually have
Listen,
it on Halloween.
I'm with you guys.
And you're wasting one.
Exactly.
Let's see. Chris with a TIAN writes in, seems like only yesterday the Pats and Colts met in a battle of unbeatens, and what a game it was. I was wondering what you think about this year's matchup and how the defense will attack Manning and company. Last year they came out in a nickel with Rodney in the slot covering Clark. Who does that now? Do they blitz Manning more that he's injured? Manning definitely looked off Monday night, but I think he may have a field day with our secondary. The Colts need this game similar to the way San Diego needed the game a couple of weeks ago against the Pats.
Now, more than ever, the Pats front seven has to get pressure on the quarterback and sack him.
Yeah, but the problem with Manning is he's not your typical. He knows how to get rid of the ball.
He does.
I mean, everybody says you got to get pressure on Manning.
He's taken more hits this year than he has in the past.
He has.
He's not the offensive line due to him.
He's not getting sacked at all, but he's been under more pressure than he has. And I think that they will put more pressure on him. I think they'll blitz him more often. And you can also do some of those things because they don't have a running game threat right now, especially if a guy can't play. Yeah. Dominic Rhodes stinks.
No, he just talks about guys that take too long to get going. He makes more moves in the backfield.
So they're last in the league in rushing or among the bottom dwellers in rushing, and that won't change unless Adai is healthy. And I can't imagine that he missed two games with a hamstring and suddenly he's 100% for this game. So even if he plays, I don't think he's a huge threat.
But given that, do you think that the Patriots, you know, a lot of times—
Make him one-dimensional and go after Manning.
Well,
you don't have to respect
the
run. There's no running
game to respect. A lot of times they've gone up against— players like Manning, good quarterbacks, and they say, you got to get pressure. And the Patriots do the opposite. They rush three and drop back in coverage.
Yeah, they have done that a lot. You're right. They did that a lot in the playoffs, but I just think that
they don't have the personnel to drop
part
back
of that is some of those game plans were with Edgerrin James and obviously a healthy Adai, and I don't think that's the case now.
Some of them had Ty Law and some of them had Asante.
They can
sit there. You could drop back 100, but they're going to go find some of these 100 guys.
Right. I think their best bet is to send Thomas, send Vrabel, send Seymour and Warren. Send these guys and get in his face.
I think you rely on maybe Warren and Seymour winning their battle on the outside and pressuring him just enough. We're not talking about sacks, but making him release it just quick enough where if you do send extra guys in coverage, they can cover.
I'd like to see him get sacks, too.
Of course I would, but I'm not saying they're going to get him with three guys.
You'd like to see some
sacks.
No,
I'm saying the front seven needs to rush.
Yeah.
Needs to get more pressure from
I would
all from all of those guys.
I would be in nickel a lot of the time.
I think they absolutely
Teddy Bruschi.
I don't know who they could. Mm-hmm. To answer Christian's question, I don't know specifically the guy that would be in the slot on Dallas Clark the way Rodney was last year. I don't know.
Oh, I would assume.
Merriweather?
Is he too small for that? I don't know.
They get smaller from there, not bigger.
What about Mayo?
Oh, no.
Ooh, I don't want that.
That'd be a bad matchup.
Mayo's got to be available to stop the run.
I would say Merriweather is the most likely candidate.
Yeah.
Jimmy Sanders?
AD underneath?
No, too small.
That's a lot of head shaking going on. No. I think Merriweather's the most likely candidate.
Yeah.
My guess is it won't be any one person. They'll be mixing it up. But I do think you'll see a lot of nickel
it's
and
a seismic
lot less
match,
of Teddy
though.
Bruschi.
Harrison was more of an equal matchup.
Harrison
in that
got
case.
Physical with him, and I think
right.
Well, I think Merriweather's the closest they have to that.
I just think if you have Adalys Thomas, he's going to be chasing like he chases everyone.
I agree. I don't think he's a very good cover linebacker, contrary to the
Now, Mayo I haven't given up on. I just think that's a huge, all of a sudden, as a rookie. I haven't seen him do matchup, when he's covering. It's a back out of the backfield or it's a zone. To just say, there's Dallas Clark.
Here's your guy.
Despite what we think of him, a guy who's made a lot of plays against a lot of people, go with him.
Including the Patriots.
Right. So
I do think that they will go out, come out in nickel, though. I think for the most part, you'll see a lot of that sub-package. For the defense, and it makes a lot of sense. You got to flood some of those zones.
But Guyton's been getting a lot more playing time. Maybe they shift him to the middle and move Mayo out on and see what he can do in space against the guy.
It's more of an equal matchup in that case than it is
if you're 5 yards away.
Yeah, I just don't think that's a good matchup for him.
No, I'm just saying maybe that's a possibility.
Hey, who are we to say it's not a possibility?
We never saw Eric Alexander come in the AFC title game.
And I would think
Peyton
Manning
learned his lesson
and
burnt him.
Amy from not so hot Amy in London.
No, smoking Amy. Hot Amy.
Oh, what did she get? She said something good about you, Paul?
No, she sent a pic.
And she's hot.
I know. That's why I came up with the nickname Hot Amy. And he didn't like it because she said something bad about him being fat.
She sent a picture yesterday.
No need to yell.
Yeah, she sent pictures like a year ago.
Yeah, they weren't
but
hot.
She's a picture.
She sent yesterday.
You're going blind.
Did you see the picture she sent yesterday and you compare that to what she sent last year?
She sent some pretty hot pictures last year.
How would you know?
Shut up.
Unless her boyfriend was in the background.
Why don't you throw something at him? All I did
I don't have anything.
Your art.
These are full bottles.
A bottle of ketchup there. Hey, guys, Eric in Hall of Fame, Paul Perillo. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on who would start at running back versus the Dolts. I think we need a top running game this weekend because we can't expect Castle to beat the Dolts alone. Do you think that we might be able – that might be also why Morris had last week off so he could fully recover from his niggling injuries?
His what?
No, I think the guy is Jordan if he's healthy.
His niggling?
I would stay away from whatever that word is. It could be bad.
Yeah. You think maybe
she might have said nagging.
No, it says there's an L in
there. I don't care what it
not.
Says. Do you think that's what she might have meant?
No, because why would you put the L in
you
there?
Could help her out a little
bit. Because it's a typo.
She didn't put anything intentionally.
Amy, what
is I don't think there's any chance that Morris plays this week, but based on today, I think there's
maybe
at least a slight chance that Jordan can come back. But either way, I wouldn't expect him to be the lead dog if he comes back. I think you still got to rely on the committee that you had on Sunday with Falk and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
P.S. I don't want Ty Law. We need to give our rookies time on the field so they can develop into great starters for the future.
By the way, Amy, it hurts. I came up with that nickname for you, and you include me. You say, hi, guys, and Eric. That hurts.
That's kind of the way it goes on this show.
I gave her her nickname, and she has to treat me like that?
Actually, Paul gave her the nickname, apparently.
No, I gave her the nickname.
My nickname was Not So Hot.
Not So Hot Amy.
And that's how she signs it, Not So Hot Amy.
Right.
He came up with that after I gave her the nickname Hot Amy.
But apparently she likes his better, Eric. Get over it.
I don't know if you know, but this show is all about accreditation. He needs to be credited with his, you know, one or two thoughts that he came up with during the course of the show. So, Amy, just give it to Eric.
When she signs it, Smoking Hot Amy, and it's because of two-gender.
Eric's just like, looking to be loved. That's
he's just reaching
pictures,
out. He's crying out.
That was supposed to be T-Bone.
The most recent one.
T-Bone!
T-Bone!
He's crying out for affection. It's just really sad. What's the matter? What's the matter, Eric?
Nothing.
You like Fred. Yeah. Fred last, you know, over the weekend, he was
really coffee mints.
I don't know what was going on.
So if you do drink coffee, they're strong. If you don't, they're even stronger.
What do you pop it in your mouth?
Steroids.
Andy, what do you put in your mouth?
That's 1-800.
What is it of Mike's that you're putting in your mouth?
All right.
Starbucks mints?
Starbucks mints with caffeine.
You want a bite of my
Everything's
protein
got
bar?
Caffeine. Everything has caffeine.
He pulled that out from his
backside,
too.
Yeah.
You have caffeine toothpaste now. Caffeine soap, I saw.
Caffeine soap.
Why
do they have that?
They say you put it on and it absorbs in. Caffeine soap.
That doesn't sound healthy.
Why would you want that, though?
I don't
radioactive
know.
Radioactive.
People perhaps just want it. They want more caffeine.
That's just another people example just of where this country's going, Fred.
Radioactive.
All because of Obama.
Larry the Drunk says, I'm in the library at college right now. I don't know if you've spoken about it yet, but how much money is Matt Castle set to make on his contract for the season? I take it there are some stipulations in the contract that offer more money in the event he should, as he has, play for an extended amount of time based on, of course, on time and performance. Any word on that? We don't know of any of his incentives, and he may not have any.
He
I don't think he has
any. He's a backup.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
He was a sixth-round pick.
I mean,
still part of his rookie contract, isn't it?
What round pick was he?
Seventh.
I mean, he's working on basically a minimum contract with a minimum signing bonus.
But there might be something in there that if he...
But he's not getting $4 million because he's starting.
Percentage of plays, maybe.
He'll get 100 grand or something.
Yeah.
Something minimal.
It would be modest. Good enough.
Well, I mean, I'd take it. It would be a lot for me,
sure.
But pro football world.
Do we have to leave early today?
Evidently, Fred doesn't care.
No, Fred's fine.
He doesn't think he's over that threshold already. That's fun. A new place to have that summer cookout next year.
I wasn't going to read this one, but I will.
I'm just kidding.
Josh says, I'm pretty sure Eric does not have any wealth to spread around. He can't sell a tracing, and I'm sure Fred is not putting you over the limit with your salary. Is Eric a trust fund baby?
No.
That would make sense given how pompous he is.
And how he went to what's that place called?
St. Paul's.
He looked
right
hilarious.
St.
Paul's.
St. Paul's.
But then that
no, but I worry about everyone else in this country who does make money, because it's a disincentive for you to become successful if you're going to just get your money taken and thrown away to people who don't bother working.
Punish success.
Look, if you read the plan, okay, he's going to roll back the Bush tax break that he gave the upper class to where it was in Clinton time. But business was pretty good back then.
We're going to lay more pipe.
Every time. That one gets me every time.
Oh, dear.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, just thought I'd like to know that according to SI, Brady has been taken off the injury list. And I just got an email from Comcast telling me that everything is coming up roses as they take away my Patriots on demand and my NFL on demand. Woohoo! Wow. I didn't know that happened.
What happened?
Well, you know, Comcast took away all the Patriots. You know, the Patriots severed their contract with Comcast.
Oh, okay.
So you remember they had that on demand? That's all gone. But I didn't know the NFL on demand was gone, too.
Well, they are having a major dispute with them.
That's why I thought there was two different things in that email. I didn't get it.
Woohoo, she says, they're also, or he says, they're also raising my fees. I also hear that McPalin has some new dresses and she's busily laying new pipe.
Starting in January.
By the way, does anyone else besides me feel that Freeney is going to own Matt Light this Sunday and Wayne and Harrison are going to have a field day with our secondary?
Well, depends on how well Benjamin Watson plays.
I'm worried about that.
The other end, Mark Lavore.
Much like San Diego, Indy will blitz all day, and Castle will spend the majority of the game picking himself up off the ground. I think if there was ever a statement game for the Pats, this would be it.
For the secondary,
Indy's not a huge blitzing team, by the way. I mean, getting pressure with Freeney and Mathis is not to be confused with blitzing. Right. And I do agree with that emailer's point about those two guys. And Bill said it today, that they're as impressive a bookend pass-rushing duo as they're going to face.
And it's speed. You know?
Very much so.
So it's not Mathis, like Castle's going to be running away from them.
It'll be a good test for Lavore.
You know, Freeney's been a little slow, you know, coming back from that injury, but he still has a few sacks, and Mathis has been really good. So
I think this is
that's a tough
a statement
tough
game.
Matchup.
Not so much for the Colts,
for the
Patriots.
Yeah. Well, it could be a
statement
for both.
Too.
No, but
don't bury us if we're the Colts, if they come out and wipe the turf with the Patriots.
Do you look at it as almost like a no-win situation for the Patriots? I mean, obviously you need to win the game, so it's not a no-win. Don't take me super literally. But if they win the game, you've beaten another 3-5 team,
right?
And
yeah, but But if you win the game, you've beaten a team that on paper you're not matching up well with.
But on paper it doesn't really count for the way they've played this
year.
No, but they haven't played very
well. No, they haven't. But for the Patriots team, they don't match up well right now with this team.
You've been sitting here every week and saying how lucky they were to win the few games that they did win.
I think it will be downplayed heavily if they win the game.
Uh-uh.
The quality of the opponent.
Well, I think you talk about the match
because I agree with Fred.
I think it's
the
an
four
excellent
weapons across the offense.
Yeah.
This offense can't. I mean, this defense has struggled with whoever you've lined up out there.
I think it would be an excellent win on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Exactly.
Say.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
The support there was
anytime
rare.
Duly noted.
You guys want to make out for a minute or?
No,
I think that's what they did last night. They were both up late and tired.
Not really. I just don't feel well.
Don't get me sick again.
I got a forearm injury.
I don't know. Will's
last time you brought that foot, mouth, and hoof.
Will's been sick lately.
Well, that'll do it.
I think that's what's...
That'll do it. You're probably catching something. Stay away.
Yeah, I think I'm questionable for the game.
Uh-oh.
I'm also not committing for that Seattle-Oakland trip either, Fred. I got to tell you.
Oh, here we go.
Wow.
He's unbelievable.
I'm not making any promises now.
Oh, boy.
What do we call him over the next year and a half?
Layoffs. Paul, yeah, Paul, this isn't the time to start, you know.
I can't take my first game
especially,
off.
Especially after next Tuesday.
In other words, you keep your eye on the ball this time.
Not a good time to break my Iron Man streak.
Yeah, no. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
I don't think it's going to.
Why?
Because Gary's
still
behind
right behind you.
Gary's getting more pictures of people in bikinis.
Oh, good.
I say June, Amy. That's my birthday. I want you on the month of June.
What?
Whoa.
On the calendar.
On the calendar.
Oh,
Amy knew what I was talking about. She's not an immature moron like you guys.
The word is niggling, and it's a word they use.
My apologies,
here,
then, Freddie.
Describes when you have
I never
lots
heard that
of
word
little
before.
Annoying injuries or complaints.
We're I never heard that word.
You know what?
Freddie.
You're probably
Eric's heard
just going
before.
With
I'm surprised you hadn't.
I hadn't heard it, Fred.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're going to lay more pipe.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.